want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the kickstand.
The best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation this week, so you will listen to the best of and like it. I'm your host, Joe Artinger, and we do have some good stuff for you today. It's Friday, and we all know what that means. Come on and join me. The weekend is here. Let's have a beer. All right. Well, enough about me. In our first segment today, Lisa Rebedee, once upon a time a good friend of the show. Don and Mike went out to Sacramento and asked her to join them, and she did. And today it's on the best of Don and Mike.
Well, we've made it to the airport roughly 30 minutes before Leah's flight is supposed to arrive.
Well, beautiful palm trees here at the Sacramento International Airport.
Even though they have no international flights.
Right.
All right, now hold on. What are we doing? We are making our way. Where are we parking, Gadge?
Wendell is going to let us out so that we can go meet Leah.
Am I right? Your plane lands in 30 minutes?
You are right.
Okay.
Not bad.
All right. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm Bob White.
I like the technology. Okay, we're getting out right now. This is it. Everybody out. Here
okay.
We go.
We got to go out the back. Got to hand the thing.
Right. Hold on.
All right.
All right. I'm out. I made it out. Okay. You got it, Mike?
Got the satellite?
Got it. Got it. You're sitting on the cord, though. Come on out.
Oh.
Beautiful. Oh. Charlie, plug us in so we can stay mobile. Excellent. Watch it. Broadcasting here.
Live broadcast.
All right. Now, let's open up the back to let Buzz and Rob out.
Here we go. Let our dogs out.
Hey, come on out, guys.
I swear to God, I have no feeling in this leg. I might fall down.
All right. Come on, kids.
Hi, Buzz. Come on. Get out.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
How
come
you
on.
Rob? You all right?
Yeah, I just got no feeling in that leg.
Take Junior and Missy. Move them way to the back of the van.
Rob,
watch your head, Robbie. Watch your head.
Clear.
Clear.
Rob, I can't imagine why you'd have circulation problems.
Whose glasses are those?
I got worse circulation than the Washington Times.
Okay, here we go, everybody. Let's see. Parking.
Coming back.
Shuttle to daily parking. What's the airline, Charlie?
Southwest.
Southwest, honey.
Now, did we fly her first class or coach?
Southwest does not have a first class.
They're still a pretty good airline, though, right?
Sure they are.
Well, maybe after all this talk about them, they'll give us some free tickets.
Now, is what I heard true, that not only did she have to fly coach, but she doesn't even have an assigned seat?
That's right. It's festival seating on the...
On every plane. Southwest flight?
As the French would say, it sucks.
In the words of the French, Mr. Brigglesworth.
All right, now we're walking in to the Sacramento International Airport. We're going to be meeting Leah because she's too busy to come to the radio station. Now, the way I understand this, she's got 1 hour. She's flying up from L.A. She's going to spend 1 hour with us, right?
And she will be very
1 hour.
And she'll be very happy to know that that hour, she does not have to leave the airport.
Okay.
Hopefully.
I hope she'll be grateful.
Baggage claim, ground transportation. Hey, you want to play the airport page game?
I certainly do. Let's find a paging phone.
You want to do, where is it, right back here? What?
I'm wanting Rob to check the flight to see if it's on time.
Oh, I got you.
How about, can I do one of my all-time favorites?
Here's a phone right here.
All right, here we go.
White courtesy phone. Dial 00 for operator.
Okay, here we go.
White courtesy phone?
Can I do that one?
White courtesy phone show.
Yeah, can I have someone paged, please? the southwest, actually, where are we? Oh, boy. The southwest gate? The southwest ticket counter, rather? Yes. Thank you. All right.
Is she going to do it?
Yeah.
Was it in here, or is she?
It's a guy.
Okay.
It's a guy, honey.
All right, we'll wait to see.
It's awfully quiet in here.
Boy, you know, for being a big airport, there's nothing happening here, is there?
I'm waiting.
I don't hear your page.
Oh.
No.
Hold on.
Wait, let me do.
Okay. Did you dial 20s?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think the guy was busy doing your page.
Yep.
Yes, I'd like someone page, please. First name is Craven. Last name is. And I'd like him to. Why? You just did.
Hey, did he know?
Yeah.
He didn't know.
He won't do. Find something more excited to do. I can't, man. You just. Guy just hung
up. Yeah, did he really?
Yeah, I swear to God, I've just been dis. The guy says, as soon as I say Craven, he says, last name, I said, he says, yeah, right. Oh, wow. This is the same that just ran for you. Okay? All right, well, let's
all right, where are we going, boys?
Up to the gate. Up to the gate. Oh, Wendell joined us. Hello, Wendell.
Hi, buddy.
All right, here we go. Up the escalator. All right, to all gates, no smoking, no firearms, no explosives, no incendiary...
What about microphones?
Incendiary. Right, devices.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll talk our way through the metal detector.
All right, now will we be able to use our microphones here?
I don't know, let's...
We'll find
out. Let's talk to this gentleman over here.
Okay,
to the left.
We'll ask if we can take our microphones through the gate.
Hi there. How you doing? We're doing a broadcast here. Can we take the microphones through the gate? Do we have to leave them sitting here and then walk through?
Run him through the x-ray machine.
Yo, he doesn't want to be broadcast.
Okay, he doesn't want to talk to us, so what do we do here?
Can we leave them broadcasting while they're going through the x-ray machine?
Will that screw up the tape? Okay, we're going to put it on the belt.
All right, here's the sound of our microphones going through the x-ray machine.
All right. Now the microphones are coming through out this end. You can hear the tunnel.
And now it's going to go down the little wheel.
Whee! Hey!
That worked.
I wonder how boring that was for everybody to listen to, though.
Well, what you just heard was the microphones actually going through security here at Sacramento International Airport.
Hello, everybody. We are deep in the bowels inside Sacramento Airport. Leah Remini's airplane, as we speak, running about 5 minutes late.
We are waiting her arrival. We are at the gate, and when she arrives, we're going to whisk her over into a special part of the airport where we will do our exclusive airport interview.
Well, now, being as, you know, we're doing a live show, and we have to go on the air, we're now faced with the choice of who to talk to.
Right.
There's either the guy to my immediate left.
That's right.
Or the guy to my immediate right.
It's quite a choice. It's very... Oh, God. Oh, my God.
All right. Let's talk to the guy on the right first.
All right.
Let me just describe. This guy has on a pair of maroon shorts, a maroon shirt, black socks, or rather white socks.
White socks.
And black hard shoes.
All right. We're just... How do we start this conversation?
Man on the street.
Man on the street as we're waiting
Man
for...
Man on the street.
Leah Remini, as we're waiting, we're very, very exciting. Very excited.
Hello,
here.
Sir. Can I interview you for a radio show?
Well, I guess you can.
All right.
Can I ask your name, please?
Gene.
Gene, where are you from?
Mesa, Arizona.
Gene, we're the Don and Mike show, and we're happy to have you on the air. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
That is a very handsome outfit. Can I ask where you purchased that?
This outfit, I purchased it in Arizona. It's standard wear in Arizona this time of year.
You notice my partner is wearing shorts. I am wearing long pants. I guess I would be the one who is inappropriately dressed today.
Oh, yeah.
We are waiting for a major television star to get off the plane. Her name is Leah Remini. She's the...
You ever heard of her?
Have you ever heard of...
No.
Have you ever heard of the show King of Queens?
I probably have.
On CBS?
Probably.
All right. What do you think about... You basically are breaking fashion rules by wearing maroon shorts with a maroon shirt. What do you have to say to those in the fashion world?
Heck with them.
That's the right attitude, sir. Nice. And between this man, and I'm pointing to Rob A. right now, and this man, I'm pointing to Don, and this man over here, Buzz, who would you say of the three of these gentlemen, who would you consider to be the best dressed?
Him.
Me.
He picked you. Shake his hand.
Thank you, sir.
You the man. Thank you, Gene.
Is my breath in any way offensive to you, sir?
I haven't smelled it.
He's been a little concerned about his breath today.
I've had some bad breath
today. My smeller don't work too good.
Okay, all right.
That's nice good. Meeting you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Gene.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
See, he was aware of the fact that he had on
yes.
maroon shirt.
And he also
and
picked
a maroon shirt.
And he also picked you as being the best dressed.
He was bold and smart.
He was.
Hey, let's talk to this gentleman. Hello, sir.
Would you mind being on the Don and Mike show here in Sacramento?
No, what's the Don and Mike show?
Well, we do a little radio show here and around the country, and we're waiting for a major television
show. Hey, her plane's pulling up right now, Mike.
There's a major TV star on that plane. Do you know
who Lee Remedy is?
Lee Remedy? I sure don't.
Lee Remedy. She's great.
Yeah. What station are you guys on?
KHTK out here.
KHTK?
1140, yes. The Don and Mike show, on in the middle of the day.
He is not impressed.
Well, the moment has happened, Don. I believe the plane has arrived.
Let's work our way down by the door.
Pay attention, Rob.
So we can be among the first people that Leah sees when she gets off the airplane.
Now, I like the idea that somebody said that we just stand here with our microphones and see if she walks by us.
See if she recognizes us.
Want to do that? I mean, we'll just sit here and chat quietly over by the side.
Because the odds are that she probably doesn't remember us from a hole in the ground.
We will just be sitting here with our microphones, and we will see if she recognizes us.
We're at gate A15. The flight from Burbank has just landed.
My dream scenario, even though, because you know I'm fatalistic that way, I would really love it if she would just walk right by us. That would make me laugh. That would be comedically...
She's not the first off the plane.
Now, do we have it on good authority that she is definitely on this airplane?
We have no idea.
We don't have any idea.
I mean, I don't even know where our producer Charles Broyhill went.
There he is. He's over there breathing through his mouth.
Is Leo on this plane?
She's supposed to be.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's good.
Go.
That's pretty decent.
She still's not coming off yet.
We are waiting. There are some kids coming.
Somebody's now walking down the tunnel. See, he's going to blow it because he's going to go down.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
No.
You could try to get it on later. We want to see if she recognizes us.
She's not going to know who I am.
I know, but the game is that we're just going to stand here and see if she recognizes us.
Oh, this is not her. How come nobody tells this woman that her gigantic belly is sticking out the bottom of that shirt?
That too.
Very exciting. Well, there's a guy in back of her, though. Oh, well, she's got a kid. We can't say anything here.
Oh, yes, we can.
Oh, dear. Oh,
my.
Oh, my.
God. The woman.
I think you would have gotten a right hand across the face if you'd said anything.
Right. She's not with that guy. There's no way they're together.
No, I'm talking about her giving you the right hand.
That was a woman.
She was stronger than both of us combined.
Like maybe, I'm being conservative, a size 12
right.
that was packed like into a size 8 dress.
Mm-hmm. Looks to me like a prison tattoo also.
Right around her belly button. Rob, that's not Leah.
No.
These are some nice ladies. Hi, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Sacramento.
Well, that's it. The plane's empty. Good night. Nothing
I'm
to see here.
I'm going to be pissed if she's not on this plane.
We'll look mighty foolish, I'll tell you.
We took the whole goddamn show around today.
I'll tell you, if she's not on this plane, then sometime in the fall, you and I are going to be featured on an episode of King of Queens.
Well, this would not be her.
Well, this is the festival seating aspect of, you know, there's no guarantee that she's on the in the front of the plane.
Well, now, here's a couple little kids going to meet their grandma, I guess.
Very exciting. Nice
sweet.
Smiles.
Did you happen to see Leah Remedy on that plane?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. No, she didn't. Maybe she doesn't know who Leah Remedy is.
Well, is she a household name yet? Let's be honest.
No, I guess not.
Right.
All right. I'm still feeling good, then.
Okay, very exciting.
Nope, this is nope. No, Rob, not her.
Rob, I did like the inhale, though, honey.
Well, thank you, honey. I'll do it again soon.
Rob, who is on this trip, turned into a drag queen.
Okay. Well, there wasn't much turning to do there.
That's right. Now, what we're going to do is play it cool, right? We're not going to speak directly to her. We're just going to stand here with our microphones.
She's going to figure it out because we're the only guys standing at the end of the ramp with microphones.
We will see. I think I'm still laying odds that there's a chance.
That's not her, Rob.
Oh, not in the blue shirt?
You know, there's
a little like your wife. That lady.
The bald guy?
No.
Well, you know my wife. She loves to travel.
What did you mean, my wife or his wife?
Your wife.
Oh,
your
my wife.
Wife. Yeah. All right, I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Yeah, me too. Now, there's been about 100 freaking people gotten off this plane yet, and she's not one of them.
Now, if it's festival seating and you're a major star, do you go to the back of the plane or do you go to the front of the plane?
I guess if it's festival seating, you go wherever their seats are.
There you go. Let me go. Give me a check. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad at all.
I don't worry. I got my own mints.
Okay, now, is this the moment where we get just a little bit concerned?
No, not yet.
Okay, well,
I'll be upset
the wheelchairs have already calmed down.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
Wait, okay. Hold on. This could be her.
Is this her boyfriend?
It looks like Cheech Marin.
All right. Now we're looking.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Still no Leah.
Still no Leah. Well, I'll eat the breakfast, just in case.
This is going to be pretty funny if she doesn't show.
No, it's not.
I know. It's going to be anger time.
Nope, not her, Rob.
Will you stop with the inhale, you? You're making me nervous, honey.
Now, I officially am starting to get worried.
Anyone else on the plane, ma'am? Okay,
yes,
very good.
Yes,
okay.
More on the plane, Mike.
Good, very exciting. Could be the last person.
And, no, that's not her, right?
I hope not.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, we are just... Look more like Kevin James than Leah Remini.
Oh, my God, there's a bunch of WNBA-like players getting off this plane
all
today.
Right. That's not her.
All right, now here come a couple of senior citizens.
Now, if you're a major star and you're on a festival seating plane, do you wait till everybody gets off before you get off, or how do you play it?
I think she doesn't have a choice.
Uh-huh.
I think they deplane row by row. The front of the plane gets off first.
Right, right.
You pretty much have to wait your turn.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she insisted on a wheelchair.
We're still waiting.
This is not her.
This is also not good.
Hi. We're watching our careers explode in front of us. That's what we're doing, little girl. Up, hold on.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. This is very exciting. Very exciting. She recognized us.
Here
she did. She did.
What do you mean?
Leah Remini is here. She has gotten off.
I'm so embarrassed.
I know it is.
People are watching.
We're jerks.
You're only spending 1 hour here.
Excuse me. I risked my life to come here for you. Let's move it along.
All right. Okay. Listen. Hey, hold on. Hey, little girl. That's who we're waiting for. You see that?
Oh, fantastic.
Don't kiss me. I have bad breath.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's Lee.
Where's the boyfriend?
We're going to meet the... Let's meet the boyfriend.
He's a big guy.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a big guy.
Is
we can't
screw
around with him.
Jesus, Lee, is he dreaming?
So nice to meet you, finally.
Dreaming? Hello, I'm Don. How you doing? Nice to meet you. Okay, hold on. Oh.
Angelo, how are you?
What is that, Leah?
These are King of Queens sweatshirts.
Leah has to go to the bathroom.
Are we going to stay here the whole time?
Now, this is important. We have accommodated your schedule.
Listen, here's what
you
we heard.
You do not have to leave the airport because we knew how difficult it was for you to
we
make
We heard
it
you up. Flying in now and that you were going to be leaving about 6 hours later. Then we heard later, no, she's only coming in for 1 hour.
Right.
So we said, screw it. We'll just come out to the airport.
Okay, but let me tell you what happened. First of all, I don't like to fly. So when I got the invitation to come and see you guys, of course, I wanted to do it because you've supported the show so much, and, you know, I adore the both of you.
Thank you.
All right.
Look at the look she's giving you.
I'm so glad that you're in front of me because I'm finally going to get to kick your ass.
Okay. Right. Okay, so you don't like to fly.
Okay. So I don't like to fly. Ask Angelo if that's true because...
Is that true, Angelo?
Well, I have the marks on my arms to prove it, so, yeah.
Well, I can relate to a phobic... If you're a phobic flyer, I appreciate you coming up here. I know how that feels.
Not to mention in coach. Yep, exactly. Not to mention...
And festival seating. Coach. We tried to work out first class for you. We really did.
Yeah, right.
There's no first class on that goddamn airline.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is.
Hey, Charlie told me there's no first class on that airline.
I was told there wasn't either.
Charlie's lying.
Next, there is. Out of Burbank, there is.
So, anyway, are we live or something?
Yes!
And who's listening?
Who's listening? All of our 60 stations.
Like on the East Coast?
Yes, and
West Coast.
Obviously, West Coast. Since
everywhere.
But that is so weird to me that we're going to be sitting in the airport.
Yes, because you're such a big friggin' star. Because you only have 1 hour.
We knew that you had a very, very pressing schedule being a big Hollywood celebrity, and we decided that we would come to you instead of having you come all the way to the station in Sacramento.
That's
the kind of guys we are.
You're so
now,
sweet.
Do you have to
yes, but then what are you going to do while I'm in the bathroom?
Well, we're going to play commercials now. Let's do a break. Okay. And we will be right
back. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
The Don and Mike Show. Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Sorry, dude. Didn't mean to step on ye. Welcome back, everybody, to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, bringing you the Best of Don and Mike via the Westwood One Radio Network. Now, in our last segment, Lisa Remedy had made it to the Sacramento International Airport that apparently has no international flights. And in this next segment, they're walking through the airport with Leah on the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, let's not have this happy chit-chat off the radio. Let's have this happy chit-chat on the air.
Hey,
you, Leah,
feet.
You have beautiful feet.
Yeah.
We are looking at your feet now.
Okay.
You are sitting with us in the airport in Sacramento because right. You're such a big star that we...
Did you see the ring on her toe?
We brought the show to you.
You have a toe ring.
Yes, that's right. She has two toe rings. Uh-huh. She has two toe rings. First thing... Now, why are you looking at me in that tone of voice?
You know what it is? I haven't seen you, and I've been talking to you guys, so I'm, like, taking in your features and, you know, just being here.
I'm beautiful,
you,
huh?
I'm looking at you.
Am I beautiful as Antonio, your
as
boyfriend?
As I said, I'm
Angela.
Here taking in the view and your features.
Okay, so I'm not so beautiful.
As I said.
Okay.
You're adorable.
All right, listen.
You're adorable.
We want to tell you that we know now.
Yeah.
We've been having that battle about you and Kevin,
right,
Kevin.
And?
Okay. F Kevin, because... Who's at the airport right now? Who flew in to see us today?
You have no idea how
you did, Leah.
You have gone so far beyond him on the scale, on the Don and Mike scale right now, because you took the time to actually fly to Sacramento to be on our show. He is dirt to us now. He is mud to us now. You have replaced him completely and totally in our hearts.
Thank you.
She says thank you. Now, let
thank
me ask you.
Thank you so much. And I might add,
yes.
I hope you are recording this, because when you talk to your little favorite person, Kevin, just ask him, because I asked for him to come.
Oh, did you?
And I got no response.
Well, what did we get from his publicist?
Yeah, what did you
Gadget,
get?
What did we get?
No, he's working.
That's what we heard, though. He's working.
What, sweetie? Because we're broke, so I'm just kind of wondering what he's doing.
So.
Because we don't go back until the third week of July, so.
Now that we've established how much we love you.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's so great you're here.
Yeah.
And that's no kidding.
Yes.
But really, though, what's the deal with staying for 1 hour?
Here it comes. Here, you know,
I mean, really.
I hate this being radio because we cannot communicate the looks that she is giving you right now. And me. Sorry about
Come
that.
On.
I'm getting one right now, too. Yes.
But you know what bothers me? It's like, here I risked my life.
I know you did.
Okay.
And we appreciate it.
Not to mention, I just have to
change microphones into the other hand now that you're holding my arm.
Okay.
I'm enjoying this.
Really, we appreciate
it. I'm doing with the story.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Well, you know, it's just a moment I have to share.
Okay. Not only did I risk my life coming here, I had to fly coach.
Again, sorry about that.
Whatever. Had to fly coach. Now, I'm flying back on standby, so I don't even know if I'm going to get on the flight. You see what I'm saying?
So you could stay.
I possibly could stay if your producer could get me, like, a confirmation that I can go back home.
Charlie.
But it really is
Gadget?
Charlie's fault.
I know it is.
Way to fall on
Everybody's
your sword there,
being
Charlie.
So friggin' coy
Way to
right
take
now.
The bullet, bud. That's good.
You're welcome.
Everybody is so coy. Everybody here right now, Leonardo included, but all of us, you know right now, we are trying to act so friggin' cool around
no, you're
you.
Not.
You know,
no,
oh,
you're
yes,
not.
We are.
No, you're
oh,
not.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Who's holding their stomach in right now? See? We're all holding our stomachs in. Look at
Actually,
all...
it's the Angelo factor, too.
Yeah,
Angelo,
right. Yeah. Angelo
was
intimidating having your voice
here. Negative number percentage of body fat over here is... You work out every day, don't you, Angelo?
Angelo.
No, I don't.
Well, then Angelo. How the hell do you look like that?
It's in his jeans. He's got good jeans, my friend.
What are you, Angelo? I mean, what is your nationality?
I'm Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican?
100% Puerto Rican?
100% Puerto Rican from New York, baby.
He tried to tell me when I first met him. He goes, but I'm one quarter Italian. No, seriously, this is what he told me, right? And so I called my father in Brooklyn. Actually, no, he's not even in Brooklyn. I should never say that. He's in Staten Island.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes, all Puerto Ricans say they're a quarter Italian. And so I said, you're not Italian. Then I go back to him. He's like, yeah, you're right. You know, like they all, it was true. Like he totally lied to me, but I was using that for my father to accept him. But
you know what pisses me off about your people?
Wait.
the fact is that when you're hitting on an Italian, then you got to tell them that you're like your toes Italian, because if not, then you're not going to get any acceptance. And I was definitely trying to get with this woman, so, you know, I had to...
He's a liar?
He's so lying right now.
I pulled
right now, he's got his little
book.
Script he's doing. I don't know what he's channeling right now, but this is so not true.
How come your people don't pay income taxes? You know, that pisses me off about Puerto Rico. You get all the benefits of being in our country. You get to vote. You get to use our money. And you don't pay goddamn income taxes.
Wait a minute. I'm from the island of Manhattan. I didn't get to Puerto Rico.
I thought you just said... How do you line up on the Ricky Martin issue? Yeah. Gay, not gay?
Oh, he's definitely gay. Right.
Definitely gay. Thank you.
But really, you guys don't pay taxes. That pisses me off.
Wait. He pays taxes.
But Puerto Ricans and
down here, we should have a meeting with the IRS.
That's right, because I'm paying taxes for more than one person.
But
which is not good.
But he pays taxes, honey. Don't get on him. Okay. He's not the poster boy for Puerto Rico.
He brought it up. I said, "Were you from Puerto Rico?"
I'm Puerto Rican.
You didn't say where I was from. That's what it was.
Okay.
No. That's
like one of his favorite things to say. Like, hey, look, I'm your people don't pay taxes.
Oh, no, that is.
Because I heard this like five times now.
Well, it is how I really feel. I've been to Puerto Rico. I've been to San Juan. It's very nice. It's very American, but pay taxes.
Aren't you revered in San Juan, Puerto Rico?
I'm a god in San Juan,
right.
Mike.
You're bigger than Hemingway was in Cuba. Absolutely.
So, Leah.
Yes, dear.
Leah.
What?
God damn it. I can't believe you're sitting here. I really can't.
This is very cool for us.
Didn't we talk about this last year when you said, like, the second time that I talked to you, you're like, oh, you both actually said it. Oh, you're going to change.
Yes.
You're going to call us.
Yes, we did say that.
And then you doubted me, and you crossed over to the side with Kevin. And then you came back. You came back.
Hold on. What,
Angelo? Hold on. Angelo, interrupt.
Angelo, please.
I'm sorry. I know this is not my interview, but I just have to say this. Kevin, on the day of Leah's birthday, I called everyone up to show up to her birthday party. Well, not really a party, a dinner. Kevin's the only one who showed up. So, Kevin, in my book, is a number one.
What kind of friends do you have, though, if not, I would show up at your birthday party?
I was thinking that you were really going to say something bad about Kevin, and then it would have been something really good.
Pick up for him. Everybody here is on, you know, the Kevin. You guys are
No, your girlfriend's on the anti-Kevin bandwagon.
I got to stick up for the man, because he did right.
I state the facts.
How long you guys been together?
Angelo and I?
Yeah.
Well, he says a certain time, and I say a certain time.
What do you say?
We'll go with him 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Yeah.
Angelo, still boyfriend, girlfriend. What's going on here? I mean, anything, any plans?
She won't marry me.
Mike, you can't. A Puerto Rican man cannot be tied down.
Is that what it is?
A Puerto Rican man must have his freedom. Am I right, Leah?
I must have the microphone now.
I am right about that.
I'm going to hold my microphone for the rest of this.
First of all, Angelo wants to marry me.
He can't. He's Puerto Rican.
No, but Angelo's a changed man. He's gone against his natural instinct. Okay?
Okay.
It's been hard, but he's done it.
Uh-huh. Tell him about the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, we did on the plane, we did a little test on him, right? Yeah, it's in there somewhere. And, anyway, it's just that we're both at this point where we want a career, and so marriage would just get it all, you know, we would just go off into a different place.
What is your career, Angelo, besides spending her money? What's your career? No, really, what does Angelo do? What do you do, Angelo? You're a pretty man.
Angelo's looking through Cosmo. Angelo, that's a good question. Well, what do you do?
Excuse me, I'm looking through Cosmo.
Angelo is in Dance With Me. He's an actor. He's got a couple of commercials running, and he also sings. What you guys made fun of him last time.
The movie, but I can't talk about that because it doesn't shoot till next month. So.
What commercials have you been in, Angelo?
Right now I got the, I'm one of the beer men.
Have you been Hey Beer Man?
Yeah.
Are you really? Now, see, now you have our respect.
Big. That's big time.
No, that's not big time.
The Ford thing.
It's paying the bills.
Ford trucks.
I'm the, you know, truck kind of guy. As you guys can tell. I'm like you guys. We're Ford, you know.
So they cast you as the everyman, the average Joe, the beer guy, you know, the tough guy. Is that right? Is that true?
I don't know about the average guy, but yeah, all right. I'll go with the tough part.
Just like us, Angela. The average guys. Yeah, right.
Does he really? Please, he reminds you nothing of us.
He reminds me so much of you guys.
All right, now, this is the test Angela took. This is the test he took. Is he a lover or a leaver?
Right.
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at him. He's a leaver all the way, Leah.
He did the test by himself, And this is what came in?
Okay, I'm looking at his answers now. He did the test knowing that these are the answers that he wanted you to fill out.
Okay, you're having a problem with this part. This is the part you're having a problem with. You think that I'm an average woman.
No, I don't.
Don't give me any crap. Don't give me your...
No, you're highly above average.
No, no,
no. You're highly above average.
I'm going to tell you. Okay, so Angelo...
So when you met me, I was the other guy.
Right. But now... When I met him, he was... What happened to the
He
article?
Was the loser, the lever.
The lever.
The lever.
He fell into this category, for those listening at home. He fell in... I got to find the area. Okay, so mostly A's, born bachelor. Mostly B, take it slow, Bo, passionate player, ready for love. Now, he was a born bachelor.
Okay? Right, I told you, you can never be tied down.
And now, he is a passionate player. No, ready for love, romancer.
Oh, please.
Okay.
You're so ridiculous.
And he is...
So you've broken him, in effect? Is that what you're saying, that you have broken him?
Broke him down.
You're so ridiculous believing this.
So you believe in the concept of women being able to break a man down. Break a man down. You believe in that concept, don't you, Don?
Of course I do. Of course I do. My wife has broken me down.
I've been broken
Trust me, my wife.
I think we've all been broken.
I've got nothing left.
But all the other women you've been with, you've probably treated like crap, totally manipulated and abused.
And your wives now are
probably very different from those women you've abused.
Our current wives? Yes, they are.
There you go.
Yes, they're very different than the other women that we verbally abused.
Right.
Yeah.
Verbally abused. Yeah. Right.
I think it's the opposite, actually. The other relationships, we were... the abusees. We were abused by the other women.
I think we should do something, like we should be walking around, like doing stuff.
All right, well, we'll walk around.
What do you think?
Charlie, we're going to walk around the airport.
Because that's the kind of star she is. She wants to reach out and touch the people.
She reminds me of William Shatner. I'm going to tell you something about William Shatner.
What?
You got that look at me complex.
I'm trying to get you guys together.
One time, I was in a restaurant. Wait a minute, where are
the
cords?
What are you doing?
What are you doing, Robbie?
He's trying to coordinate the
cords. Jesus. I'm at a restaurant, and William Shatner's in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And he has to sit in the corner with his back to the wall so that everybody that comes in the restaurant has to look at him.
You're a liar.
I swear to God.
That really happened?
It really happened.
And you sat there and let him do this.
Yeah, and you're the same way. Look at you. You want to walk around the airport.
You know,
people
what?
Look
you're
at you.
Such an ass.
I know it.
Look at you.
Hey, look at this, folks.
Okay.
Hey, people.
Let's
right
go.
Here.
Let's go.
Leah Remini, King of Queens. Hold on. She's a freaking TV star. Look at her. You've seen her on TV Monday nights.
This is your most
Ladies and gentlemen, as part of your Sacramento experience, I'd like you to say hello to Leah Remini, star of CBS's King of Queens.
Can we have a nice round of applause for Leah? Right here.
Thank you so much.
Please, you can do a little better than that. A little bit better.
Thank you. She came to wish you all good luck on your trip to Las Vegas.
Okay.
Would you like to individually shake hands in
Maybe
the line here?
This is not exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, all right.
You said you wanted to walk around.
Okay, I take it back. Let's find a nice little cozy place and sit down.
Didn't you say you
in the mouth?
It's
I don't
getting
want
ugly.
To be part of this.
It's getting ugly.
Now listen, Leah, buddy, King of Queens, Cosby, that piece of garbage Cosby show that has been moved out of the Monday night lineup, and you guys are the leadoff now, right?
Yeah, we're the lead-off at 8 o'clock, but Cosby's Wednesday now. I just got lipstick on your microphone.
Do you like the lead slot? Are you happy with that?
We're scared. You know, it's like, leave it alone. We want to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a real vote of confidence from the network to be at 8 o'clock. And we get more advertising, and, you know, that's nice. But at the same time, we have more now writing on the show.
And now that you are entrenched in the CBS family, are you getting treated better? Are they giving you more perks?
Are you kidding? She's here.
Yes. CBS always treated us nice. I got to say that for the network, because they, from the beginning, were so sweet, and I wasn't used to it. You know, I'm not used to that kind of treatment from a network. So, you know, I love CBS.
Hold on. I want to play a game with you and your boyfriend.
What?
You stand back here with Buzz for a minute.
No.
It's a guessing game. Just stay right there. You can't hear what he's going to say.
It's a little impromptu game here. Angelo, come here.
Angelo. Hey, Angelo. Oh, here he is.
Here he is.
Angelo, when's the last time that you and Lee...
If she guesses correctly.
Geez, it's been a while, you know, I have to admit. It's been like 3 days.
It's 3 days.
It's Friday, Thursday, Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday?
It's been about, I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay, all right, Leah.
Okay,
simple
here we go.
Game.
It's a very, very easy game.
We keep walking. We'll have a fabulous prize selected especially for you.
Well, I want to know the prize first, because I don't work that hard for things. So just
Well,
tell
it's
me
real easy. All you have
prize
to do
is a convenient
Hold on, Robbie, what do
Burbank.
We have?
I already have that.
A crisp 10.
All right,
got it for you.
I haven't won it yet.
If you could tell us the last time that you and your boy toy fulfilled your marital obligations, when was it?
He gave us a day. You give us the day. If you match his,
then you win our $10.
I think 3 nights ago.
What day would that have been?
What day? What's today?
Today's Friday.
Right. Thursday. Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Tuesday? Tuesday.
You win the $10.
You win. You get to keep it.
Okay, I will.
The guys matched. You passed that test with flying colors.
I can't believe that you would be with...
Cheated.
I wouldn't lie. It's been 3 days.
Why? What did she say? I was talking to her boyfriend.
I looked at Angelo and I said I didn't know what to do, and he told me 3 days. He went 3.
Oh, did you? You rat.
And then I went there.
Hey, Angelo. Oh, man, those Puerto Ricans. You got to watch them every minute.
All right, Leah. That's right. They don't pay taxes. Now we're outside. Right. Now you can have
cigarette.
You can have your cigarette, Leah. Go ahead.
You guys.
What brand does she smoke? She smokes.
Oh.
Well, then you have a pack of Marlboro Lights in your purse.
Got a real person here. Got a
that
real
I just pulled out.
That fancy crap.
You know?
Philip Morris Company. There you go.
And look at, she's got like the tiger skin Peg Bundy thing.
Don't let him in there. He'll never be out of there if you let him in there.
That's her makeup bag. Pager.
Okay.
She doesn't have a lot of good stuff in her purse. Wallet.
Yeah.
Wallet. What are those curlers?
Pills? What are those little pills?
That's a hair clip.
That's a hair clip.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have a lot of good stuff in there.
Can I try the hair clip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Here's all your junk back. Let me introduce you to this guy. I bet this guy's a big fan of yours.
Fumo.
Sir, can I ask you something? Where are you visiting Sacramento from? Are you familiar with the TV show King of Queens? Okay, well, F you. Thank you. Let me ask you, sir.
He's just joking. He's a kidder.
Where are you from? Do you watch TV? Do you ever watch CBS? You're an older gentleman. That's probably your favorite network, right? Do you ever watch a show on Monday night called King of Queens? Well, I'd like you to meet the star of that show. Here he is, Kevin James, right here.
How are you? Nice to meet you. Pleasure. You watched the show this week. The spy show. It's kind of like Mission Impossible.
Thank you, sir. Very, very nice
meeting
you.
Thanks so much. All right.
Well, listen, stalker. So listen, when you're on Hollywood Squares this week, what is your square position?
Bottom.
Bottom left or right?
Bottom.
Middle.
Where?
Left. Bottom left. Yeah. Charlie Weaver.
Bottom
old
left
spot.
Who?
A good spot.
Charlie Weaver was bottom right. If you're doing it from where Leah would sit?
I'm doing it if I'm looking at the TV.
Exactly. If you're looking at the TV, she's on the right.
Oh, she's on the right.
See. Bottom left is a good spot.
Bottom right, not quite as good.
Can I just take this moment to say how happy I am to see you guys?
That's very nice.
It's really nice.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally. You're the one.
You know you're not. You're
being
facetious.
You know what? I'm not. Every time I have this moment with you, you always screw it up.
I know. Buzz, light her cigarette, please.
Oh, wait.
Light her cigarette, please.
Here, I'll light
Buzz, don't light her hair on fire. Your hands are shaking, Buzz.
Light her cigarette that she doesn't smoke. Yeah. What did you say, Rob?
It looks like he was dealing cards. That's just the way you do it at the poker games, too.
You should see this guy's handshake. When we play poker, this guy's got... It's like Katharine Hepburn dealing the cards out.
Is this expensive?
No.
Can I keep it? All right. Cool.
All right. Oh, now you have a Leah Remedy souvenir,
do.
Don't you?
I have a Leah souvenir from her trip to Sacramento.
Well, you finish your cigarette, and we're done with you then.
That's it?
Listen, miss, I've only got 1 hour. That's it.
Again, I risked my life.
You did?
No, you did.
For Coach.
That's right.
And appreciate it.
And Charlie didn't even get me on a return flight yet.
He's doing it now.
So don't try to play it off like you don't know if I could stay or not, because you know I probably could. Oh, look at Charlie. What?
One waiting list.
Which one? At what time?
1:30. You need to be back up there.
1:30.
We want to thank you seriously from the bottom of our hearts for coming to Sacramento to be on our show.
Did you hear that?
Thank you so much.
Kiss. That was a Hollywood kiss.
Angelo. Angelo,
I know you did.
Kiss, but
I'll kiss you, Angelo. What the hell?
Angelo, let me tell you something, all right? You've got a real hottie here. Do not F it up. Do you understand me?
F it up. Don't worry about it.
All right. Look at me. Look at him. What do I do?
Leah.
He's a good, you know, I like him, too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a cutie.
We will not forget the fact you came out here to see us. No kidding.
You guys have supported the show.
No kidding. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leah Remini, star of
Get Away, please. Your star efforts. Get away, please. Please. Miss Remini needs her space. Please, 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 vacate the area. Please, vacate the area. Please.
See? We could be your bodyguards. We do a good job.
Okay, listen. I don't think that they speak the language.
Oh, they don't speak the language.
All right. No, no, we're just kidding. It's just being lighthearted. Lighthearted.
She's a TV star.
Lighthearted. Lighthearted. Joking. Joking.
Oh, my. Okay.
Funny. Comedy. Just joking.
We're just goofing around.
Just joking. Just
joking. Okay. See you later.
Sorry.
Bye-bye. No, I want to let you know something. I could have kicked his ass if I wanted to.
I know.
We, let me take...
I know, thank you.
Let me take this opportunity to apologize for that very ugly moment. That was the last moment we had with you.
You saw me right there.
Yes.
Right? Then I walk up to the guy?
She did. She got between the guy that was going to kick our ass and
us. That's right.
Us.
Thank you for saving us.
Who closely followed me was Angelo.
Angelo.
I'll tell you right now, I'm going to cry.
Oh, no, no. I mean, seriously, he came very close to an ass kicking.
Where was Charlie?
Charlie was right behind me.
That's right.
Famous Don and Mike show, idiots.
All right, listen, kids, go get your plane. Thank you, Angelo. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Angelo, thank you.
Please, Leah has no time for autographs, right, ma'am.
Thanks for the hair clip.
Leah's going to sign her autograph. We're going to get out of here. What are we doing? We have to do a break?
Yes.
All right, a break, and then we will be...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's do it.
Possibly crooked. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. You know, on the show, sometimes the best segments are just made up of the callers. Sometimes not. It's always still the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Yeah, Def Leppard, like a half-eaten turkey. One drumstick.
All right. Would that be the footless? Is he armless or legless?
He's armless.
Armless, that's right.
Armless. And you know that they gave him that cool setup on his drums so that
he can do a lot with his feet.
Hey, he plays most of the drums with his feet.
Very cool.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys?
Hey, my friend.
I live in Greenville.
Yes.
I saw Mr. Murphy yesterday.
Oh, Dennis Murphy. Oh, you know, Dennis, I forgot to tell you this. Dennis was so pissed that we cut him off yesterday.
Mm.
All right, he called like four more times during the show.
Really? We gave him a lot of airtime yesterday.
Well, you know, sometimes I go hot and cold on Dennis.
Yes, like, so do I.
You know, we had him at the beach house, and it's every day with Dennis. I mean, right. You know, sometimes even I, the world's biggest Dennis Murphy supporter, I need a break from Dennis Murphy sometimes.
Well, and also it was that one too many times with the bad phone, where he said, "This is the best phone we can get."
You know, a lot of times, bless his heart, he calls us with absolutely nothing going on, just wants to announce
absolutely
that he's somewhere where four or five people can come see him.
You know, I have an announcement to make. I'm going to the laundry. You know, if you'd like to meet me there.
Yeah, well, no, this time the announcement was, I had got a speeding ticket in South Carolina, so I'm going down to pay the ticket if anybody wants to see me. That was the real announcement.
Well, what he does is, anytime he travels any distance, he wants to turn it into an official media event.
Sure.
Hello.
Actually, several bit of people down there to see him. We got there and the parking lot was crowded, and I mean, we went in there and the whole bar was just slam packed.
Was Dennis selling a lot of t-shirts?
Yeah, in fact, I'm one of the numbers who bought one. I just said, I listen to y'all every day, and it's cool to actually see somebody that's on the show, so.
Now, I'd like to point out he's not officially on the show, you know what I mean? He's like the stray dog that we've kind of adopted. Sure. But I'm also glad that Dennis is, you know, turning a profit since, you know, when we first hooked up with Dennis, he was like an accountant or something, but now he's unemployed. I think the only way that he's supporting himself is through his website and selling these t-shirts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, two more things real quick. One, I saw the episode, the Jerry Springer episode, the guy called in about. It was the nastiest thing I have ever seen.
Are you calling from a tractor or something?
Because I am driving a truck down in Greenville, as a matter of fact, right now.
Again, a headache just from all that noise, man.
Yeah, a lot of background noise.
It's
is it a big truck?
Yeah, well, it's a little box truck, but it still makes too much noise.
Yeah, it's a noisy truck.
All right, what else? Very quickly, though, please.
The show Jerry Springer, he actually girlfriend on the show.
What's the make of that truck? I wonder if it's a Ford or a Chrysler.
I just hung up on him. Sorry.
It's too much noise, though.
Lots of noise. Lots of background noise.
Could have been a domestic truck, Mike.
Well, yeah, I said Ford or Chrysler.
I meant foreign. I meant the opposite to what you said. It could have been. That's right. Foreign would be made somewhere else. Domestic
foreign
would be
like Isuzu, Toyota.
Right.
But he said it was a
Daihatsu.
A Daihatsu.
Is Daihatsu like the crappiest car made? Is Daihatsu the new...
Is that Korean?
I don't know, but I saw one today that looked like it was held together with bubble gum. Is Daihatsu the new... I know Hyundais aren't as bad as they used to be.
Right.
But is it like the new Hyundai? Is Daihatsu now the worst car you can buy?
I think it may be way down
the cheapest, yeah.
But, you know, I always like to get, you know, kick in something for it. Rob and I are Chevy guys. You know, we like Chevys, and that's why we talk about Chevys. And if you listen to this station on the weekends, you would never know that Chevys exist. You'd hear an awful lot about Fords. You hear a lot about Fords on this show on the weekend. That show that's on Saturday morning.
Oh, the car show?
Yeah, the car show, you know, where it's just like, let me tell you about, he was just doing a whole thing on that. And it was, you know, I think you know, when Chevy owners, you just get a thing about Chevy.
That's odd, Mike, because... When I pulled into the garage today, the same time as you, noticed a Japanese car you were driving.
Yeah, I drive a Lexus, but I also have a Chevy. I have a Chevy pickup, mm-hmm. and I have a Chevy Suburban. Mm-hmm. So I actually am 2-1 in the Chevy department. So I love Lexus. I love Lexus, but when it comes to trucks, I am Chevy. All the way.
Like there's a difference.
A huge difference. Hey, blasphemy!
You know, because they're so good with technics and you know, technology.
I think Americans are better with trucks. I still think Americans mm-hmm. are better with the trucks. I think they know how to make trucks better.
I'll tell you, the only reason that we have a Toyota. We don't have a Chevy or Ford. The only reason we didn't buy a Chevy, every time I see that commercial, I want to shoot my TV where they go, like a rock.
Right?
That stupid Bob Seger song.
Oh, like a rock! Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, just for your clarification, Daihatsu has been making construction equipment for the past 20 years, and it's actually very good quality.
Well, the cars look like garbage, man. Have you seen a...
Actually, I work in construction, and I'll tell you, the construction grid is unmatched against anything American.
Okay, but have you seen the car, though?
I have seen the car. You know, we go directly to the construction dealer, and he, in fact, drives a Daihatsu, and it seems like a fine automobile. I'm not...
Is it a truck or is it a car?
It's a car. You remember those... Remember the tiny, tiny Hondas that when they first came out?
Yeah, real Civics, a little tiny Civic.
Where it looked like a clown car, like you'd open up like 20 clowns would come out. That's what this thing looked like.
Kind of like a Pacer or a Gremlin.
A little bit of time, and Toyota started out small, and then they got into the Lexuses and all that.
Yeah.
But a little bit of time, it'll be there.
A Pacer or a Gremlin is miles ahead of a Daihatsu.
Daihatsu.
That's the worst car on the road, man.
Daihatsu. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye, Japanese sympathizer. Listen, I like their products and all, but, you know, I still bleed red, white, and blue.
Of course.
You notice how I go both ways on that topic?
It's very, you know, on the subject of automobiles, you're very confusing to listen to. You know, in one breath, you're talking about your Japanese car, and then then you're talking about red, white, and blue. I'm so confused.
It's great being able to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Hello?
Yeah, Mike?
Yeah?
Hey, I wanted to see if you had seen this, the new version of the Ford Suburban.
You mean like the Expedition or the Navigator or something?
No, they've got a four-door copy of that now, and it looks like, you know, like something the dog would dispose of.
Garbage.
What was that, Rob? Rob said it's garbage.
It's like a million feet long.
Oh, it's longer.
The engine isn't powerful enough, and the brakes won't stop.
It's like the Navigator, right, or something like that?
It's a pile of crap.
All right, well, thank you. Rob Spiewak, automobile expert, says it's a pile of crap.
Rob and I bond on that subject.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hey,
I love driving in his old Chevy with the rock in the back of it.
The rock that Robbie has in the back of his car, just in case any roughies give him trouble.
That's why they play the song Like a Rock, because I have the rock.
Rob Spiewak, seriously, has a rock in the back seat of his car.
Right.
And like if he's ever carjacked or any somebody. And why someone would want to carjack your car, I can't imagine, Rob. But if it ever happened, he'd pull out his rock. And what would you do with this rock?
The rock is not for carjackers. They broke the car window with the rock.
Right.
So I know that as long as the rock is inside the car, they can't use it to break the window.
Yeah, because there's no other rocks in the world.
Well, I've narrowed it down by one.
It's very superstitious. He, like all of us on this show, very much insane.
See, I think he keeps the rock in his car for protection. I really do.
You think that it's just like, you know, why you? Don't you dare hit me in the head.
Why would a guest of the NRA need a rock?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, does your Chevy truck have that option on the tailgate heater?
A tailgate heater?
Yeah, that way you can push it around. Your hands don't get cold.
That's a Ford man calling.
Yeah, it had to be.
That's a Ford man calling right there.
Oh, my gosh. The show's getting redneckier by the minute.
It is. I'm grinning.
Biscuitville.
Biscuitville. Oh,
Midgetville.
We're arguing about trucks.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mike, you said you own a Toyota?
No, I do. I'm Don.
Don, you own a Toyota. Man, those things are pieces.
It's a fantastic car.
It's not. It's a piece of down the Toyota truck, and that thing broke down. I had to put a new engine in it, transmission.
It must have been driver error, sir.
No, it wasn't driver.
I'm telling you, I'm the worst. I'm the worst.
I have a Chevy truck now, and I haven't had a single problem with it.
I'm the worst at car maintenance. And this truck that we have, this Toyota truck, you want to know how long it was before I changed the oil the first time?
Oh, right.
24,000 miles before the first oil change, and the thing runs like a charm.
You know, the Toyota product I have, actually, 100,000 miles, no gas. Didn't have to put any gas in it.
What did I tell you about those Japanese?
Isn't that pretty incredible?
These cars, they are pieces of I mean, I change oil every 3,000 miles on it, and that thing just fell apart.
Well, you're a show-off.
Piece of crap.
He's just a plain show-off.
He's just show-off changing your oil every 3,000 miles.
I can't do I'm not, as you mentioned before, thank you very much, I cannot do the argument of American versus Japanese, you know, because, I mean, and neither can you, you know, because you own own American and you own Japanese.
And I own Swedish.
You own Swedish.
Swedish. My Swedish car kicks ass.
Yeah. That's right. I know that, Donald Sutherland.
Well, look, you know how much crap I take for driving a Volvo? Do you know how much crap I take just like every day when people I know see me and they go, Hey, what happened to you?
Hello there. That's a safe vehicle you're driving.
Hello.
What?
Hello?
Oh, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're talking with us. Hello there.
Don.
Yes.
Don.
And Mike.
And Mike. Frank from Southern California.
Thanks for the bio.
Frank.
Hey.
Yeah, Frank.
I'm going to send Don a Cuban cigar.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, see the Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hey, did you guys check out Saturday Night Live last week?
No. Does anybody watch Saturday Night Live anymore?
I don't. I hardly watch it at all.
It was great. You would have loved it. I did the ESPN with Stuart Scott. Oh, yeah, baby.
Are they goofing on him?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, good. Maybe the guy that takes himself too seriously, maybe that got back to some of the people at Saturday Night Live.
Maybe there's a reason to watch.
Yeah, it's great. They're like,
Saturday Night Live.
They were saying, did you see Sammy Sosa's home run? Booyah! Every comment, booyah, baby, booyah!
All right, thank you, Mike.
It's great. Check it out.
All right.
Stuart Scott, for anybody that didn't hear the interview on this show with Stuart Scott of ESPN, takes himself way too seriously.
I think he's a freaking rock star.
It's ridiculous.
One of these guys, when he's on TV on SportsCenter, he's all excited and he's very vocal.
Right, very animated.
When we talk to him, here's the energy level.
Hey, dudes, how you doing, man? Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do a good job on SportsCenter. Yeah.
I'm very serious.
Yeah. Hey, what's happening? Okay. Right.
I'm very serious.
Could be on your show.
I don't understand your question.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, he was a big load, wasn't he?
He certainly was. It's sad because we were fans. We liked that show, SportsCenter.
Until we met him.
And now you watch the show, and every time I see him, I'm just kind of rolling my eyes, you know, knowing what the real guy's like.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you know, I always thought I was a pretty together guy, but hearing about Rob A's rock, I'm very worried about myself now because I also have a rock.
Oh!
My rock that they used to break through the window, stole my cell phone, and I really don't know why, but that rock is sitting here to this day.
Really? I wonder how many other rock people there are in the world like you, Robbie.
I don't know, but I'm worried about myself now.
Hey,
all right, well, good. If you feel better about yourself, then this show has served a purpose today.
Kudos to Mike on his impressions and being able to stay in character and the lines he comes up with when he's in character. The guy is gifted. Mm-hmm. He's truly talented.
Yes, he is. And, I'm aware of that. Thank you.
And I had a brush with celebrity.
Who?
Ellie Nestler. Do you know who she is?
Who?
Ellie Nestler.
Ellie Nestler?
Never heard of her.
No.
Never heard of her.
She's the one, she waltzed into a courtroom about 5 years ago. There was a trial going on where a guy...
Hold on, can we get any more background noise for this call?
And do you have a radio going on there or something?
Yeah, it's a two-way company radio.
Well, who is this woman? Cut to the chase. Is this woman really famous?
Well, waltzed into the courtroom.
Please, come on.
She was a whore.
Just cut that guy off.
But my kudos to you.
I appreciate him acknowledging, finally, someone acknowledging my gift.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Wanted to tell you, I work in Alexandria and appreciate the entertainment on the way home.
Right on.
I work for the Coast Guard. And
kudos to you.
Hey, a Rudy Martsky fan.
Yeah, there you go. But I really enjoy your show.
Well, we do appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
All righty. Have a good day.
All right, Rudy served his country well in the Coast Guard. Was he in Ohio?
Coney Island or something. No, it was someone else. It was a Coney Island, we know.
That's right.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, last call. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, I got a bike. On my bike, I keep a rock strapped to it.
Your bicycle?
Yeah.
Or your motorcycle?
No, my bicycle.
No, his bicycle, his big three-wheeler.
His tricycle. You're what, 30, sir?
Well, 25.
25.
Maybe you've seen this guy. He has the beanie on his head with the little propeller thing on the top of it.
And the rock dragon behind his bicycle.
All right, thank you for the call.
Thanks, bye, guys.
Okay.
Later.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Oh, we got to do another break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Good.
The Don and Mike Show.
Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, pleased to be listening to the Don and Mike Show. And welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. Well, now, Don's brother Jim checking in again today. And as usual, it's not always smooth with Jim on the Best of Don and Mike.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, everybody. It's my redneck brother, Jim.
Oh, man.
Why?
Oh, have I got the story for you.
Uh-oh, really?
Yeah, I need to talk to you just for a second off the air, though.
Oh, dear.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. Oh, my.
All right, hold on a second.
Oh, dear. All right, well, Buzz, I guess we're going to have to pad for a second here.
We can do that.
Maybe I could try again to get you to work up some of your dander about Brett in the parking space. But
now that I know it's her, I really am pissed, and I really am. Why we've been sitting here, I've been plotting ugly ways to get even with Brett.
Glad we could clear that up. But I'll tell you right now, when Jim asked to speak to his brother in private off the air, you know that there is something seriously, seriously wrong.
It can't be good. This is what I'm thinking.
But there's got to be some of it that's going to be, you know, on the air. And I know we can look forward to hearing some part of this.
Just a taste.
On the air, but just a little taste. Right. So what's going on?
All right, I need the soap opera music.
Oh, really? Is this another relationship?
No, it's about my parents and him.
Oh.
I need the soap opera music.
They did something again?
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did.
They did something bad again?
They sure did.
Oh, dear.
You know, my brother wants to know if it's cool to talk about it on the radio. And, you know, for goodness sakes, with all the crap that we've discussed about our family on the air.
Sure.
You know, what is one more log on the fire?
Why not?
All right, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Okay, where are you at right now?
Barkeysville, Pennsylvania.
All right, so you're driving a load of something somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm overloaded big time, too.
Hey, you're overloaded. Well, that's good for any of the state troopers that might be listening.
Well, I gotta be going around a few scales, too.
Really? Right, we'll deal with that in just a moment. Now, here's the latest. Now, this involves your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
The girlfriend that my mom and dad didn't want my brother to see. And keep in mind, my brother's 38 years old.
Now, is there some particular reason why they don't want you seeing this woman, Jimmy?
Just that they can't control me anymore. They can't tell me when to do anything or how to do it or anything. They can't control me.
And they're
upset
about
that. That's
the
whole point of it, completely, totally, 100%.
So you remember that my parents, in the last episode of My Dysfunctional Family, my parents had actually hired a private investigator.
Oh, man, I found out Saturday that not only did they hire a private detective to drive by my house, the private detective followed Jamie. Plus, they gave Sam and Fran a complete report, a lifelong history report on Jamie.
Let me bring you up to speed. Jamie is my brother's current girlfriend, and Sam and Fran would be our parents.
I have a valid question here, and this is for people that might not be familiar with this. You said they can't control you, but you're a guy that's been married, you have a kid, you've been in many relationships, and have they, I mean, have they ever pulled anything like this with any of the other relationships?
No, the only thing they've done before is just tell me that they don't think my girlfriend or my wife was worth anything. They thought that, you know, they weren't good, they didn't like them. They've never liked anybody that I have been with.
Right there, I mean, no surprise for anybody who listens to the show, that's just not right, you know what I mean?
Right, no.
You kind of have to accept whoever your kid brings in. I mean, that's just the way it is. You support them, and that's the way it is.
When your kid is 38 years old.
Absolutely.
And you've already got a bad relationship with both of your kids.
Of course.
Right. All right, so what's the latest installment?
Well, we saw Sam and Fran Saturday morning.
And how did that happen?
Well, we saw Francis.
That's my mother.
And they have had a friend of theirs drive by Jamie's house now, okay, Saturday morning. So Jamie said, stop the car, I want to talk to your mom. So I stopped the car and I said, Jamie, just be cool.
Now, wait a minute, when you said they had a friend drive by the house, was mom in the car?
No, this was Bob's wife, Dawn. They're good friends now.
So your friend Bob is good friends with our mom and dad?
Yeah, I've lost that relationship, that friendship, after 18 years.
Oh, my God.
Because of all this.
So this is a contemporary of yours who has kind of been reporting to your parents about your life?
Exactly.
How twisted is that?
Does this have anything to do with the thing that you were telling me last week? Well, we talked last week off the radio. Occasionally we do talk off the radio.
Right.
The thing with Bob, the problem with Bob last week.
Yeah.
My brother was all upset. He called me last week. And this guy, Bob, has been my brother's friend since they, you know, were just out of high school. And he said, listen, I'm not friends with Bob anymore. You know, I said, what? Bob's your best friend. And it turns out there was a whole big situation with Bob. Was that related to Sam and Fran, too?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And my parents are a mess.
Anyway. Jamie got out of the car, and Francis was standing there, and Jamie said, Mrs. Source, I'd just like to tell you not to have your friends drive by my house.
Now, wait, hold on. Where was Mom at this? Because you said that this other person was driving past your girlfriend's house. Where did Mom appear?
We saw her downtown South Lloyd.
So this is after a friend drove by the house to check up on you.
Yes.
And then your girlfriend bumped into your mother downtown.
Yes, and I was with my girlfriend.
And you were with her.
I was sitting in the car, and Jamie got out and told Francis, hey, I'd appreciate it if you would keep your friends away from my house and have your friends stop driving by my house.
Right.
And Francis says, oh, well, your mother hooked up the phone at Jim's house at her name. That's fraud. Is going to prosecute you and all this. And Jamie says, my mom did it for a gift for me. And Francis started saying, we did a whole investigation on you. Jim, you should see what's in this investigation. And the only thing Jamie has ever done in her whole life,
oh my God,
has gotten a speeding ticket and didn't pay for it.
That's it.
That's it.
You should see this.
So,
right.
So Jamie tells Francis, you're just an old, lonely woman. Leave us alone.
Oh, my God.
Francis hauls off and hits her right in the face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Was this on the street?
Yeah. So I told Jamie, get in the car. I said, Jamie, get in the car. We're going down to the police department right now. I said, Francis, you're busted.
Oh, my God.
You just committed battery on Jamie.
Oh, no. So did you file charges against mother?
We went down and talked to this Sergeant Lee. Jamie didn't want to file charges. We could have had Francis arrested for battery. She would have had to been shipped down to Winnebago County Jail, pay a bond, and get a court date.
Oh, my God.
Jamie says, I don't want that because it's just going to bring more down on you. Well, I said, you do what you want. I said, we can have her, this old bag, arrested. Or the cop says, well, I can go over and talk to her. Well, the police officer went to talk to Francis, and Bob was there.
This is my brother's estranged friend,
okay,
Bob.
Right.
Bob tells the police officer, well, Jamie's driving on a stolen registration, a stolen sticker, and stolen license plate. And Francis says, oh, I'm not doing anything to them. They came and saw me. And the officer said, well, Mrs. Source, just leave them alone, and they will leave you alone. Well, then I called LaVita.
This is my my mother's sister, Aunt LaVita.
Right. LaVita is neutral. Remember we had our doubt last week about that?
Yes.
LaVita is neutral.
All right.
She didn't believe it that Francis is like this and all whacked out. Okay? And I talked to LaVita Saturday afternoon for 2 hours over the phone.
Just let me interrupt you for a moment. I follow this because this is my family.
You got to start feeling pretty good about the fact that you live all these miles away.
Is this understandable to anybody listening to the radio now? I mean, I guess if you listen over the year, you know who all the players and the sorted
right,
mess
sure,
are.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's funny, man. This is just whacked out. I'm moving out to Seattle, Washington when I can.
No, don't tell me not to go. That's a good move. I thought you wanted to be by your daughter.
I do, but do I have to live in fear that Sam and Fran are going to try and make my life miserable anytime they get a chance, and then I have to sit back and defend myself or prove myself innocent?
Oh, my God.
That's what it's coming down to, okay? So Bob lied about Jamie's registration. So we spent Saturday afternoon going to the police department in Beloit. The police department, the cop called to let us know what Francis said. He says, oh, yeah, by the way, they said you're driving on stolen plates. I have South Beloit police officers looking for your car because now you are under suspicion. So we spent Saturday afternoon running around from police department to police department to have them run a check on her plates to prove that she's all legal.
Did you get that done? Was that finally worked out? We got that done. Good.
But then now, Francis, I left yesterday at noon to come out to New York State, and Francis and Sam are driving by the house.
Oh, my God. Again?
LaVita didn't believe me on this. And I told LaVita, I says, hey, I got a tape recording that I recorded Francis a month ago and how whacked out she was, calling Jamie a whore, calling Jamie every name in the book. And LaVita doesn't believe it. And I says, as soon as I find this tape, I will be over to your house. And she believes me now. She's starting to see how Francis and Sam are. See, they always want to portray to everybody that they're innocent, they are perfect, they do everything they can for their son.
My parents, are you by my adopted parents here?
Mm-hmm.
They are certifiably out of their friggin' minds. I mean, they're absolutely...
Once they pushed you away, they moved on to your brother and started working on him.
Right, because I reached the point with my parents, my mom and dad got mad at me. This all goes back to the fact that my brother and I are adopted, and things were fine with our parents. I mean, we had a screwy home life like everybody does, but it was all right.
Right.
We found out we were adopted, and the second we asked our parents about it, they started getting squirrely with us.
Sure.
And then my mom and dad sent me a box one day that had, like, all of my baby pictures and my high school football letter and all the stuff from when I was a kid. They just sent it all to me and said, goodbye, you're not our son anymore.
Well, they'll probably do that to me. You know the thing about uncle/half-brother Tom?
And that, of course, is the other great part of the story, that my uncle is actually my half-brother.
Right.
I told LaVita Saturday, too. I says, hey, you know, she still denies that to this day. She goes, well, I didn't know that was a secret in the family. I says, what do you mean, Aunt LaVita? That was top secret. I said, Tom told me, Francette told me, Sam told me. LaVita, and Francis still denies it. She goes, oh, yeah, Tom is your mother's real son.
You see, my mother, okay, my brother and I are adopted.
She's whacked, man.
My mother gave birth to Tom.
Right.
My mother then, this is before my brother and I were even born. My mother gave birth to Tom. She gave that baby to her mother to raise.
Right.
When he was 12 years old.
And it's like a big secret in the family that apparently everybody in the whole family knew, except for my brother and I,
right,
that the guy that we had been brought up with as Uncle Tom was actually Brother Tom.
But was it her son with Sam?
No, it was her son with another guy.
Another guy.
She was married before.
Oh.
Right.
And he got killed in a typhoon in World War II.
Of course.
Off the coast of Japan.
I'm telling you, I swear to God, you can't write this crap.
Pretty amazing stuff.
And you know, this is why, when I talked about this 5 years ago, why the Jenny Jones Show and the Lisa Gibbons Show called me up and asked me if I could get my whole family to come on their shows. And I said, absolutely not.
This is my personal hospital.
This is my personal hell.
But, so, you know, it's just whacked. And now they're trying to do everything they can.
I don't know why they just
vandalize my life, my job, Jamie's job.
Jim, this is Buzz. Rather than move, can you get a restraining order?
That Jamie went to check on it today.
Good.
$122.
Uh-huh.
to get a restraining order on Sam and Fran.
Right.
And then it's another $122 to get a restraining order on Bob and Dawn.
Oh, don't worry. I'll pay that for you. The saddest thing, you know, out of all this...
Who will pay that for me?
I'll pay that for you. Me, your brother.
Oh, man, I'd appreciate it.
You know, the saddest thing out of all this sounds to me, Jim, like your lifelong friend who kind of buys into what they're saying. And,
he was my hunting buddy. Well, I told my brother what the story was with that. And now he's mad because I confronted Jamie about these lies, and I found out that his wife was lying about it. He told me all this stuff and didn't want me to talk to Jamie about it.
There's so much crap to this story. There's so many people lying to other people. And I guess it's all intertwined to Sam and Fran.
Yeah. You know, we take 5 hours to explain it to everybody.
We couldn't do it in 5 hours. Not to explain everything. I swear to God we couldn't.
You know, but, man, I mean, this has got me so upset. Is the first thing I've ate in 2 days here.
Oh, boy. That, you know, that's, you know, I feel the same way I felt when Dom was going through all the crap initially. I mean, it's just horrible. It's really horrible.
Listen, I had it bad, but my mom never slapped my girlfriend or my wife.
You had the distance on your side. You had the distance factor.
Jesus Christ. What a mess that is.
I was afraid that Jamie was going to throw her in a headlock and do a body slam to her. You know?
You know, I would pay to see that whole situation unfold. I really would pay to see that. Where was that?
When I told Francis, I told Jamie, I said, get in the car, Jamie. We're going down to the police department. Francis, all that skin hanging off of her arms and stuff was just shaking like a bowl of jelly. She was scared to death.
Okay. All right. Well, listen.
But it was...
Listen, call me tonight. I'll get you the money for the restraining order.
Yeah, I needed to ask you another favor.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't know if you want me to say this over there.
Oh, right. Come on. Why not?
Hold on a second.
We were right. It wasn't good. Unreal.
All right. What else?
Hey, it makes you appreciate everything you got. Yeah, it really does.
That does. Yeah.
That's a shame. They did this. You remember when they did this to Don?
I do. They sent
years ago, and now they're doing it to Jimmy.
Hold on a second.
Sent all his baby stuff back in boxes.
Yeah. Well, of course I can handle that for you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello? Yeah. No problem.
Because, man, this has got to end.
Yeah. He wants to know if one of my battery of attorneys will send a letter on his behalf from him to my parents saying to leave him alone.
You know the attorney to call for that.
To never contact me or my daughter. I've already told my daughter that she's not going to see him anymore. And Rachel says, why? Because they've moved to Europe.
Oh, my God. That's what I had to do with my parents. I had to finally get a lawyer.
You know, and I hold a friend that they have in Washington that sends them all this stuff and calls them and tells them all the scoop on us. I hope she's listening.
I had to finally hire a lawyer to send my parents a letter saying, if you contact him again, we will take swift legal action against you.
Amazing.
But once I did that, they left me alone.
Good.
They stopped trying to butt in. All right, Jimmy. Well, I'll help you on all those fronts.
Well, you want me to call you tonight?
Yeah, call me tonight.
What time?
You don't want to get home. Just call me anytime tonight. Okay?
All right, dude.
All right. Well, hang in there, man.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Hang in there. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right.
Hang in there, Jim. Good luck with all this. It's an awful lot to deal with.
Don't speed!
But I know I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when I say it. It's highly entertaining, and, you know, thank you for sharing it with us.
You know, I don't know. Thanks for letting me get it off my chest.
That's all right. No better place than a radio show with 5 million people
listening.
Hey,
the therapy, isn't it your favorite therapy?
Yes, it is.
Right here?
There's no doubt about it.
This is my therapy, too.
All right, call me tonight.
Okay.
All right, bye, dude.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
All right, well...
The difference between Jimmy and you is you worked in the radio business for years, and I think you could handle this. You knew what pathological liars were all about. But Jimmy, I don't know, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
How screwed up is that?
That is amazing.
I'm so embarrassed of my family. I'm so embarrassed by all of that going on.
No, I mean,
oh, Christ.
I think you're both handling it the right way. I've always said that.
You've risen above it.
How wacky is that? My parents are so out of their minds.
That is tough. That is a tough situation.
You know, just leave us the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, you handled it the right way. They left you alone, and now he's just got to, you know, make the break.
Right.
Right. And, you know, none of this would have happened with my parents if when we had gone and originally asked them if we were adopted, if they would have just said, yes, you're adopted.
Right.
Here's the circumstance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never went to our parents and said, oh, you're not our real parents. We want to find out all about us. We didn't do that.
Right.
We just wanted to know what happened. And my parents refused to give it up. At one point, I was screaming at my mother. I said, don't you watch Oprah? Like on Oprah, they have shows now
sure.
that instruct stupid people how to handle situations like this. And my parents said, well, you know why we never told you you were adopted? I said, why? She said, you never asked.
Oh, God.
That was the big response. You never asked.
Yeah. I think that did Jimmy a little good, getting on the radio and talking about it.
No, I think so.
I think one of the reasons he did want whoever that person is that's the spy here in Washington, D.C., wanted him to hear it.
Okay, that's effed up, man.
That is effed up.
That's just real effed up.
Amazing.
There is.
All right, let's check our phone lines to see if our new phone number works, okay?
What is that phone number? I forgot.
It's 1-877-365-3636. Let's try a call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you're the greatest.
Ah, the phone lines work, Mike.
1-877-365-3636.
Right, let's just stay away from that stupid DMDM.
DMDM.
365-3636. 1-877. Yes, hello, who is this?
This is Eric from Sacramento.
Yeah, hi, Eric.
Don and Mike, you're the greatest. Is that the Sacramento, Las Vegas style show? Just wanted to encourage Jimmy to stay in the area because, as it turns out, it's his daughter that's set up to be hurt the worst on this if he moves to Washington to get away from your silly parents.
Yeah, I know. I'll have that discussion with him. Appreciate it.
It'd be great if you could pay for that restraining order.
Oh, I'll do it. That's done. Not a problem. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello there.
How are you today?
I have nothing on the screen, so I don't know who you are or where you're calling from.
Amy from Detroit.
Yes, hello, Amy.
I just want to tell you guys, I was in a very similar situation. The guy I was dating was a single child, and or only child, and his mom went to the extent she followed me around, followed me from work and to work. She was psycho. She was so worried that I was cheating on her poor little boy or something that she would just, like, have no life to follow me around.
Uh-huh.
And I totally sympathize with Jim and do whatever you got to do, Jim, because I had to leave the situation. It was totally, totally unconducive for me to stay.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
Right. You know, what's the line? I think it's out of the movie Parenthood. You need a driver's you need a license to drive a car, but you don't need anything to be a parent.
That's okay. True. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. I just have a question about your family.
Sure.
Are you in any way biologically related to your parents?
No.
Or not?
No.
Then, okay, because you were saying your uncle is really your half-brother.
Yeah, he's
adopted half-brother.
Yes.
Oh.
In as much as that's the only family that I know. You understand it was just one lie on top of another.
Because he's your mother's biological son, he would be your adopted half-brother. That's right. Exactly what
correct.
It would be.
Correct. And maybe I didn't make this clear either. After all the stuff with us being adopted came to the front, we were talking about, my brother and I were talking about this with Uncle Jack, who's now dead, my mom's other brother. Mm-hmm. And he said to us, well, that's not the biggest lie in this family, that you guys are adopted. Don't you know about Tom? And we said, no, we don't know about that. And then we went back to our parents with that. We said, well, no, wait a minute, hold up. Not only are we adopted and you didn't tell us,
right?
But this guy who's our uncle, he was really your son. And we went to my mom and we said, why don't you tell us the circumstances, how you ended up giving him to your mother
when he was 12
to raise,
right.
Which is also odd,
an odd weird number.
And then we found out that's the first of many times that my mother just shut the door in our face and told us to get out of the house.
Yeah.
We found out that everybody in the whole family knew that story except my brother and I.
Right.
That it was a big conspiracy.
Did you ever find out why when Tom was 12 years old that he was turned over? Why?
No.
Why, like when she was 6 years before the finish line.
I don't know.
She decided to pull the
I don't
car.
Know. No. We don't. Listen, I've tried to find these answers.
Right.
No one will tell me the answers.
And from what you've told us, your parents didn't have anything to be ashamed of, and yet they seem ashamed or embarrassed about the whole adoption and Uncle Tom thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What would that, you know, it's so weird.
I know. It's wacky, man. I mean, I swear to God, it's not nutty. Someday there's going to be a Lifetime movie of the week made about this family.
Good.
And people will think it is fiction. They will not believe it.
Who would you cast as your mom, as your adopted mother? As your adopted estranged mother.
Okay. I have the opportunity here to be very cruel.
I understand that, but I'd like you. I would refrain from the cruelty, and I would go for accuracy.
I would say a puffier Betty White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A puffier,
right.
More Italian-looking Betty White.
Okay.
that would be it.
Very good.
And for my dad?
Yeah.
Who's that dude? Is it Martin
Landau?
Yes.
Martin Landau?
I would go with him as the father.
Oh, boy, great cast.
And, of course, playing me, you'd have John Gotti. And playing my brother, you would need a shovel, but you would have to dig up Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain.
Those are our celebrity lookalikes.
Excellent. Wow.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
You know who I could cast as your brother? You give him a little facial hair? Jeff Daniels.
Oh, that's an insult to Jeff Daniels, Mike.
I know. I'm trying. Hey, you always try to improve it with the movie players, sure. You know?
No, I say keep it real. We'll be right back. Stay right
this
there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I don't know how that works. Are you actually listening to Monday's show from last or next Monday's show? I don't know, but it is all the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation. They'll be back, I guess, July 6th. We'll all be back for wacky fun and hijinks. Until then, it's more of the best of Don and Mike. Vincent Price's daughter Victoria visits the guys on the best of Don and Mike.
Now let's have some Halloween fun.
Oh, boy.
Actually, we're probably going to be talking very little about Halloween. And a lot about the life of Mr. Vincent Price.
It is time to summon now the evil spirits.
Because we have Vincent Price's daughter online. Her name is Victoria Price, and she's written this book. I'm sure you've read about it. Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography.
Lots of things in this book. Very, very interesting and a little controversial.
Now, frankly, if my kid ever wrote a book like this about me, I'd kill him. Which is probably why she waited until her dad was dead to write all this stuff about
him. Well, we'll have to ask her about that.
Let's bring her online now. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Your book, Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography.
Pretty fascinating stuff for, a man who I guess was at one time like the king of the horror actors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to tell you something. I'm looking at a picture of you right here. A picture of you with your dad.
Uh-huh.
You're pretty cute.
Him?
No, you. You, you're pretty cute.
Well,
you
do, I want to know why you would kill your daughter if she wrote a book like this.
Oh, let me think. Gee, if my daughter wrote a book that I was a Nazi sympathizer, and
I
that,
never said he was a Nazi sympathizer,
and that I might be gay or bisexual. Gee,
I never said that either.
Well, clear it up for us. Okay. If we're mischaracterizing your book, then you give. That's why you're on the show, and then that's what we can talk.
Was your dad a Nazi sympathizer?
No, far from a Nazi sympathizer that he was gray listed for being a premature anti-Nazi sympathizer.
Okay, so when the stories in the press about you saying that he sympathized in a certain way with the Nazis, that's all inaccurate.
Yes. What I said was that as a young man, he was raised with a certain kind of values that a lot of people in those days in the upper middle class were raised with. It was a certain kind of cultural anti-Semitism that was pretty pervasive. It was pretty pervasive right up until we entered World War II. I mean, everybody was looking the other way. My dad, in the early 30s, sort of swallowed hook, line, and sinker some of the things that were going
on. I'm going to pot her down already.
You know, oh, the world.
She's already saying that her dad was an anti-Semite, but it's okay because everybody was.
All the banks or Jewish people or the intellectuals, and he never was anti-Semitic toward another person.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah, yeah.
And say, because it really does sound like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. When you make a statement like it came from that, everybody kind of was looking the other way. Are you surprised at the kind of the firestorm of controversy that's been aroused by the Nazi issue and that particular segment of the book?
Absolutely, because I almost didn't put it in the book. And the reason I did was because he had changed his mind by the time he was 25 or 26 years old. And my point was that he was a young man who didn't really think much about what his values were as opposed to his parents' values. And so he kind of believed what they believed until he woke up and changed his mind. And
so listen, are you saying then that your mom and dad were anti-Semites?
My mom and dad?
Yeah, because you're saying that...
His parents.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, that his mom and dad were anti-Semites.
I think a lot of people in St. Louis, which was a really pro-German town, were anti-Semitic. Look at Lindbergh, who made his name in St. Louis. He was pretty pro-German and anti-Semitic. He was a big fan of Hitler's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just, you know, I didn't live in that time. I just think it's a blanket statement. It's a weak blanket statement to come out and say that it just about everybody was anti-Semitic at that time, and then...
Yeah, it's dangerous, I guess, when you're doing that. Have you got any heat for saying that? I mean, I would think you would, that there would be people from that time, you know, many people that grew up in that same kind of environment who would say, hey, you know, what would you say to them if they said, hey, no, that's just not true. You know, this was perhaps an isolated example.
Actually, you know, it's a fact of the matter. If you look at reporting in newspapers at that time, if you look at the way history books were written at that time, if you look at the U.S. policy toward Germany and toward Hitler, we refused to look at the fact that anything was going wrong and that there were any problems. We refused to accept boatloads of Jewish people who were refugees from Hitler.
You talk about kind of a cultural anti-Semitism. How did that manifest itself in, you know, in that era where your dad was growing up?
How did it manifest itself?
You say people look the other way. I mean, where was the anti-Semitism?
What were they looking the other way at?
What was happening?
Boatloads of Jewish people trying to be allowed into this country that were turned away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I've never heard that.
The U.S. government.
I've never heard that. But I'll move on to the next question I had for you. Another one of the things that we hear about in this book is that there are rumors that your dad was a or maybe bisexual.
Homosexual?
We're this show is very gay friendly, so we are allowed to use that term.
I see.
We say it in the most endearing way possible. We support the gay community.
We don't have to validate anything to her.
That's right.
What about the rumors of your dad's homosexuality or bisexuality?
Well, my dad was married 3 times for about 60 years of his life, but after he married my stepmother, I think a lot of those rumors arose, and I think they arose for 3 reasons. One of which was that he played these very campy, over-the-top characters in his movies.
That's true.
The other reason was that he played Oscar Wilde in 1978, which was the exact same year that Anita Bryant was up on her soapbox denouncing homosexuality, and it was seen as a pretty radical thing and a pretty major support of the gay community at a time when it wasn't receiving major support.
Do you think your father ever had dabbled in that? I mean, you know, the Hollywood lifestyle, the Hollywood parties, do you think there was ever any kind of experimentation?
When he wasn't married for the 60 years, I have no idea. He never said to me that he was or wasn't. And
what about a bisexual thing?
I have no idea.
Hmm. Okay.
I did a lot of research, people would say to me, because it was a constant rumor, so I felt that if I didn't address it, then people would say, what are you not looking at? What are you not talking about?
Okay.
So people would say to me, oh my God, I have proof that your father was gay. Go talk to so-and-so. So I'd follow these paper trails down and I would get to the end and I would talk to whoever it was. And he'd say, oh yes, I have proof that your father was gay. In the 50s, we were walking through the Metropolitan Museum and he smiled at me. He flirted at me. Absolutely, he was gay.
All right, then you can understand why we would ask you about this, because obviously everybody asks you about this.
Yeah, I've been asked for years, and I think, you know, everybody in Hollywood assumes that. I have other friends who are kids of certain celebrity marriages about which that has been assumed, that their marriage is of convenience or that their parents are gay, and we all sort of chuckle about it.
What's the primary reason you wrote this book? I know a lot of people will do this for, you know, obviously if it's a commercial success, that's a good thing, but a lot of people say it's a cathartic experience to write a book like this. So what is your motivation for writing this book about your father?
My motivation was that I believe that my father profoundly affected the history of the arts and the visual arts in particular during the 20th century and the popularization of the visual arts. So of course, we're all very glad that he's remembered as the king of horror and loved as the king of horror, and that people get a really big kick out of him.
I'm getting bored with this.
Even to this day. But actually, I think that a lot of what is happening in the visual arts at the end of the 20th...
I think people are going to be wondering if this is the same station they were listening to 20 minutes ago when we were looking in the bathroom for biological stains.
To popularize and promote the arts all over America. And I wanted people to remember that aspect.
All right, I'm going
to
cut her loose.
That was my primary motivation in writing the book.
All right, well, listen, we want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be glad to plug your book, Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography by Victoria Price. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ooh. Jesus Christ.
That was a little uncomfortable.
Right. Well, everybody in St. Louis was anti-Semitic back then.
Yeah, a little weird. I mean, yeah. You could dissect everything she said. You know, when you've heard all the scuttlebutt about this book that you know, you get the Nazi issue and you get the gay issue, and then she comes on and refutes it. You know, I wonder if these publishing houses have the same spin system as they do in Hollywood, where you know, they're just trying to sell books. It's very frustrating when you get that advance word on a book and then the author comes on and immediately, oh, of course not. I would never, you know.
Well, to be aware of the publicity that the book publisher is putting out. The book publisher supplied us with questions we were supposed to ask, like, is your dad a Nazi sympathizer? Was your dad a member of the Communist Party?
And you always want to know, you know, if Vincent Price was alive, how he would feel. You know, and what he would say if anybody brought that type of thing. And you know, it's
well, that's why I stand by what I originally said, that she wouldn't have written it unless he was dead.
Yeah.
He can't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah. Pretty weird stuff.
What a bore. I thought that might be interesting. Jesus Christ.
Not as good as the penis book.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a million times better.
But if you were a Vincent Price fan, you want to read about Vincent Price, you know, what the hell?
Don't waste your money. Plus, I'll tell you this, the print is very small in this book.
Oh, yes. That's not good.
It's not like the Michael Jackson book. Remember when Michael Jackson wrote his book, Moonwalk?
Oh, it was great. Big fat letters.
He got like about one paragraph on each page. Look at this. Look at how tiny this is. Someone like Buzz with failing eyesight would not be able to read this.
That's smaller than average.
Without your spectacles, Buzz.
That's right. Much smaller than average.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is the thing that I don't know very much about Vincent Price and whether he was an anti-Semite or what her feelings are, but unfortunately, 90% of what she was saying about cultural anti-Semitism is accurate for that time. There was a ship called the St. Louis.
I know what you're talking about. In fact, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I don't doubt that for a second. It's just you go into dangerous ground whenever you say, you know, everybody kind of turned their head and looked the other way. Because I know, you know, that's just not the way, that's not true. You know, I never believed it.
It might be tantamount to this. It might be like talking about somebody who grew up in the South in, let's say, the 40s and 50s, and say they weren't racist, but they didn't do anything when they walked down the street and they saw colored water fountain, colored bathrooms.
Well, listen, I'm not as educated as either of you boys, obviously, but I never heard anything in my life about anti-Semitism being okay in this country.
Let me tell you, in Miami Beach, all the hotels had signs saying no Jews, no dogs.
That's true.
Well, that certainly has changed now.
Yeah, that's...
Dogs are allowed in all those hotels now.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
What, like Jews aren't allowed in those hotels now?
Sorry, I'm not as educated as you.
Right. Obviously. Jeez. Please, come on. Christ. What do you want to turn this into? Goddamn NPR?
We're out of our depth.
I thought she was talking out of her ass. I'm sorry. I'm not as educated as you boys, but I don't think that back then everybody in this country just turned the other cheek.
That's what I take issue with, is when she makes the statement like that. I'll even go so far as to his analogy with everybody in the South look the other way. It's just, when you make those statements about everybody, you know, it almost sounded like she was defending her father by saying, you know,
everybody else did it.
It was a cultural, you know, anti-Semitism that everybody kind of looked the other way.
We all hated Jews.
You know, but I'm sorry, but the Nazi issue, you know, came up in the book. That's what we were talking about. And then she kind of, you know, says, oh, fiddle faddle.
Yeah, and then wants to go on.
I hate it when authors do that.
Boring diatribe.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. This is Eric from Rochester, New York.
You know, I just might burn this book. It's been a while since I've had a good old-fashioned book burning on this show.
Really?
I just might burn it, just because that was such a bad interview. I mean, nothing against her personally.
Yeah, but if we're talking about the Nazis and book burning, you know, it might be a good idea to separate from that.
Maybe. But I do enjoy a good book burning.
Oh, God.
You know, when an author pisses me off.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, I was just calling to verify that what the last guy was talking about is true about the boatloads of Jews being returned and, you know, Charles Lindbergh having to do with that. He was from St. Louis. And, you know, what she was saying was true.
You know, I was going to say,
people in the government back then, you know, definitely went out of their way to turn a blind eye. It was the policy of a lot of guys.
All right, well, then all of this should be taught in the public schools, because I never heard about this.
Yeah, we didn't either. That's
It was never taught to me in the public school, and I'm 38 years old. I learned about this stuff only in the last about 5 years.
That's interesting. I would say that's true. They really ought to, you know, there ought to be more information out there about it.
If that's true. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I just wanted to say to her as a I'd much rather have your guys' honesty any time than her pretension.
Thank you.
Sir.
And that's very the key nice. Word there. She was a little pretentious.
Thank you.
Let's try to get all uppity with us just for using the word.
I know.
What do you mean? Come on. You know.
Come on.
You know.
Right.
You know what I mean.
And nothing against authors and nothing against, you know, people that use the $10 words, but please.
Come on.
It's just, you know, it's very frustrating when there's all this advanced hype about a book that's created by the publishing house, and
right.
then we get into that situation.
Right, they've been trying to get her on this show for 2 weeks.
And then we're made out to be, and how many interviews a day do you think she does where she says that, too?
And they have pitched it to us every day for 2 weeks, just like, this is controversial, this will be right up your alley. Was Vincent Price a Nazi?
And perhaps she doesn't remember that was on the front page of USA Today yesterday,
right.
All the aspects that we just tackled. And mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right, well, screw her.
Strange.
Boring 10 minutes on the show. It's done.
Hello,
Don and Mike show. Now, we'll go back to talking about farts and
yeah.
and the walls. The walls of our bathroom.
Girls.
We have a major emergency here.
Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? Let me change topics. Let me call my kid.
All right. You got the third question in the moron thing?
Yep.
All right.
Let's see if I can get the third question in the moron quiz, which I failed this morning driving carpool. I got all three questions wrong.
I want to thank that guy for bringing by the safety derm. Wonderful. Antimicrobial hand sanitizing lotion.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now.
Yes, you are.
Leave a message.
Yes, you are. You're in the car.
It
must be in a bad cell right now.
Especially for you, Bart. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To choose a short message to be displayed on the cellular phone of the person you are calling, press 6.
I'll leave my wife a message.
Very good.
There you go.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
She get home tonight and say, hey, honey, I got a call from Dave Letterman.
If you're satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2.
That's what I
want to erase a message review.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Well, maybe I want to redo
listen
it.
To your message, press 2.
I want to redo it.
To erase and re-record, press 3. To message erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. Message review.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
To
listen
more?
To your message,
yeah,
press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Right, this will be the
message
one we leave.
Erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. Message review.
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
If you are satisfied
that's
with your
cheaper.
Message...
She might think that's actually for me.
To listen to your message, press 2. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1.
No urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you. Your message has been sent.
All right, well,
goodbye.
As soon as my wife gets that urgent message.
Urgent. It's very urgent.
I'm sure she will call back and we will get question number 3 in the moron quiz.
All right.
Which I was given on the way to school this morning. One more person on hold here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, it's Krista.
Yes, hello, Krista.
It's my birthday.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
How old are you, Krista?
I am
27.
Okay, well, you had to think about that one for a second there. Has your birthday party already started?
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, man. Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I think she used to be on Melrose, the blonde, the short blonde. She had short blonde hair. What's her name?
You're not loaded?
No, not at all.
You're a little loaded?
Uh-uh.
Is it Josie Bissett? You're drinking something right now.
Yes, I am. And it's water.
No, it's not.
I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I've listened to you for so long, and you guys are just that.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to have a cigarette now.
Ah, very good.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Nothing chases a beer better.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let me say, that's a little more like it on the show, other than that boring Vincent Price crap.
I think we were a little more compatible with her.
I think so, too.
That was snooze. Let me tell you.
That was snooze, man. I will tell you, Mom, that was snooze time.
What are you doing for your birthday? You going out with your boyfriends?
Not quite sure yet, you know? You gotta keep all your options open, you know?
Okay, I bet yours are open.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Jesus. All right, party girl, we'll have a good time. Okay.
Bye-bye.
There she goes.
Drunk whore!
Oh, Rob! What was that? What'd you throw in there?
Drunk whore!
Drunk whore!
But, Rob!
Rob!
He was a whore.
Nice.
We are up on a break, and we will be back with
this
more.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and the Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show. Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Boy, I had a situation there. I started pushing all the wrong buttons, but I pulled it together just in time. Who am I? I'm Joe Ardinger, your host for Best of Don and Mike these 2 weeks. Don and Mike being on vacation, they'll be back on July 6th. Hey, have you ever forgotten to pay your phone bill and then figured it out once they turned it off? It happened to Mike, and it's on the best of Don and Mike.
Let me tell you something funny, though, and I found out the rest of the story, much like Paul Harvey when I arrived here at the station today.
The rest of the story.
This morning I tried to call Mike. Because, you know, on Friday, we always try to get Jeff Hardy in.
Right.
And I know that sometimes on Friday that the show gets busy and that we have to bump it if we're doing an event like we are today.
Right, correct.
So I wanted to call Mike to tell him that definitely prepare his bit for Jeopardy today, because no matter what, we're going to get Jeopardy and we'll just move stuff around.
Great.
Very
good.
So I'm picking up the phone. I'm trying to call him. And the first time I call, I get the beep, beep, beep. The number you have requested is not in service. So I thought, well, you know what? I must have misdialed.
That's correct.
So I dial it again, and I get, again, the number's not in service. So I wait about 20 minutes to try it again, and then I get this. There's trouble on the line.
Right.
Okay, so I figured, well, you know, they must be doing some construction at your house or something.
Yeah,
so
Hooterville, you know, out there on the sticks. Yeah.
So fortunately, you know, I tell him when he gets to work. I know he'll prepare the, you know, the character for today's Jeopardy.
It'll be very good.
But now I must ask you to tell everybody why, for the rest of today's show, you will be known as Rusty Ford.
Do you know what's weird and what's a little strange?
And, like, it's a Friday payday. I'd like to point that out also.
It is, but just got paid. You know what's strange?
What?
Is when you come into the studio, and this is the only place that you're relaxed in, like, the last 2 hours.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not good. That's not good. I mean, you should relax. This is high-pressure radio.
Right.
You know, this is the big time, and you should
be...
This should be the seat of stress. This is not. This is the first time
this is the
sitting
sauna.
In this chair.
The sauna of your life.
This is the first moment that I've actually been relaxed in the last hour.
Oh my.
Because I'm late. I'm running late. You know, through nobody's fault but my little golf game this morning, and I'm running late, and
shocker.
I like to get a, you know, I was relaxed during the golf game. I had a great time. But I get on the highway, and I get a guy that's giving me a bucket of road rage. Like big, huge in the passenger side.
Right.
I got that road rage because when I was getting up on the exit, I was trying to call the operator, because when I called my home number, it went beep beep beep. Your number has been disconnected.
Oh my.
So I'm calling the operator, and as I'm calling the operator on the merge, I apparently drifted over to the left. And so as I drift off to the left, I hear this like that, and I immediately pull over to the right, and this truck goes by me, and the passenger is just going, yeah, like
give
that.
Me the big double finger.
And you know how with road rage, it's, you know, always gets to a point where you just go, oh, all right. And that's what I did. I gave him that look, and okay.
Yeah,
and
get off my back.
He gives me all these things. So I'm getting this road rage the whole way, the whole way into the city, and I'm going, you know, I'm like, oh, God. So I completely forget. It really stresses me out. I mean, this guy looked like his head was going to come out, and I back off, as you're supposed to do.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just driving me nuts. And so
that's
I completely
right.
forget the fact that the number's been disconnected. And so I get to the office.
Rusty Ford.
I call the cell phone number, and I say, can you help me with this? Well, no. Do you have a calling card? I don't have a calling card. I don't keep a calling card with me. So I can't do it over the cell phone, so I have to wait till I get to the office. I get to the office. I walk in, and I say, well, I'm a hard line. Maybe it'll, you know, work a little different. I call the number.
I'm sorry. Your number has been disconnected.
Billy?
Billy?
Has your phone been disconnected because you haven't paid the bill?
Billy, have your last phone payment, was that made in August? And so I finally called. Well, that's what happens. Yes, I call the operator. And I hope my wife is hearing this, because if she's hearing this, this is the only way that I can communicate with you. Honey, if you call me, like at a payphone or something, and you call me at the office, I'll give you the number to call to pay. So
how could she call, though, if your phone is out of order?
I don't know. I'm not sure whether she'll be able to call me, but if they've disconnected it, that means she cannot call.
Right, right. Maybe she could send you a letter.
I don't know at this moment where she is. I usually have called her four or five times by this time, and I am not able to reach her, which is a source of stress, although in here, stress melts away. So I will tell you that I
have called. You given any thought to the fact that she may just have left you?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I have.
You go home tonight, your house would be empty.
Most definitely.
Be like a mattress.
Yes, I am. I always examine that possibility. And I don't think that wasn't playing it. That, you know, all the furniture's gone. Where's everyone gone? So I call the number for the phone company, and the phone person says, yes, you have an outstanding balance of yada, yada that you have to pay. I say yada, yada, because it was $1 million.
It's a TSMB. It's a tidy sum.
Wow. So, Mr. Bigglesworth.
So I call this person, and they tell me the whole deal, and then they say, well, I said, how can I, like I always say, and believe me, I say this a lot to creditors, how do I expedite the situation? You know, because I have to say it quite often. So I say, how do I expedite the situation? He said, well, you can pay with a credit card. So I reach in, and I have this one credit card that I use for these moments. This is the one credit card that is the lock. It's the credit card that always works.
Ah.
The other ones that I have, my Discover card and my other card, just always a little suspect, real low limit, you
sure.
know, maxed out all the time, right?
Right.
So I reach in, and as I'm talking, I'm being cool as a cucumber, like I always like to be with creditors. And so I say to the guy, no problem, let me reach in and get
especially
this
when it's your fault.
Yes, especially when it's my fault. So I reach in and I'm looking for the card. Well, the card is not in my wallet, because this is the card I use for everything. It's the card I use for ATM. This is the card I use to pay almost all the bills. I do this because it ties right into
where's
the
it account. At
I don't know.
Oh my.
Sometimes my wife will take it out to use it, or sometimes I will use it and put it in my pocket, so it could be anywhere. So I say, well, now we go into the unexplored territory, and I get out the first card, and I said, all right, I'll try this card. And I'm not giving any hint that there's going to be a problem. So the person says, all right, put in the number. Do, and you go through the whole exercise. Would you confirm this? I press the button to confirm. Thank you. Unfortunately, this card is not eligible at the present time for payment of this bill.
Billy,
so you know,
are you over the limit on your credit card?
So at this point, I hear the operator, and I really heard this from the, I swear to God, I hear this from the operator. I hear,
you know, another deadbeat.
That's
right.
That's when my hands begin to shake uncontrollably, and I say, I've got one more, and that's my little frequent flyer card that I use, the special one.
Right.
That's got a, let me see, what's my limit now?
$1 million.
No, I think it's $3. $3 is my limit on that. So I call, and I go through the exercise again.
Magma.
Hit pound. Thank you. Unfortunately, the card you have put in, this is, okay, so here's what we have here, right? With the operator online, we have the unpaid phone bill, and we have two credit cards that are ineligible. I don't feel like the king loser of the world. I really do. I really feel, you know, and I say, oh, man, you know, the card I usually use, like they don't hear that all the time. The card I usually use isn't in my wallet right now. And then, you know, the total sympathy on the other night. Is there anything else I can help you with, sir? You know, which is really like, I don't want to deal with you. You incredible deadbeat F. Please get off the line with me. So as it stands now, I talked to the guy and I said, the way to do this, if you turn the phone back on, then the person at home I will be able to reach, and they will pay immediately with the credit card to use that. And shock of shocks, the guy said he would do that, and that the phone should be turned on in an hour or two.
That's a good scam. You've just given everybody out there who's had their phone turned off a very good scam.
But here's the deal. Here's how they get you. Window of opportunity.
How did they get you, Billy?
Here is how they get you. They have a limited window of opportunity that they are using to pay the bill. So, it will be on in 1 or 2 hours, but it will also be off in 3 or 4 hours.
Oh.
So you see, the only reason, it's they've opened it, you know, this is the phone company, okay? The phone company is not going to cut anybody.
Let me try
something.
I think
they cut me a tremendous amount of slack.
Sure.
And I will pod down when they give your phone number. We'll see if your number's in service yet.
No.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I haven't fixed it yet.
I've had a lot of problems, over the lifetime, as everybody does once in a while. Bills are late and stuff. I don't think I've ever had my phone turned off due to lack of payment.
Yeah,
and it's a new feeling.
Well, now you know
how Rusty used
to feel. Ford felt.
Rusty used to have his phone bill, his electricity, and his landlord, lock the door, put a padlock on the door.
There was this guy that we used to work with. Every 2 weeks on Friday morning, we did a bit with this guy. He hated us for it. We would have a contest on the air,
right,
where we would decide, we'd bet before we called his phone number at home, see if his phone would be turned on or not.
Right.
And then after we would win that bet or lose that bet, depending on if the phone was turned on or off, how we bet, then we would go into our whole next phase, because every Friday on payday, this guy, Rusty Ford, would take his entire paycheck, cash it, and he would come into the station with $400 or $500 in cash in his pocket.
Right, he'd have a wad of bills.
Meanwhile, he had no electricity at home, no telephone turned on, and he's driving a car that his dad gave him.
Mm-hmm.
He would go down to a hotel downtown.
I used to hang out with him. He'd take this big stash. He was a fun guy to hang out with. He'd have this big stash of bills, and he'd go down. He'd buy two hotel rooms. He'd go down, and he'd say, "Guy, it's Friday. Mike, you want to do something tonight?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, Rusty. Let's go out." And so Rusty he'd take the big wad of bills. He'd go in, and many times he wouldn't be able to pay the hotel because he had gone out and spent money, at a bar and at a restaurant.
Oh,
I mean, we're talking top shelf restaurants. It's like, great.
And real nice hotels, right? Yeah. Like you get a suite, right?
Rusty, can I take care of the tip? No need. I've got cash. A big, thick wad of bills.
So this guy, every Friday on the show, we started by playing that song by Johnny Kemp. I just got paid.
Friday night.
And then we started giving away payday candy bars.
He didn't like that.
We did a whole thing about Rusty Ford. But it all started with the fact that every Friday we would call to see if his phone was turned on or not.
Absolutely.
So welcome. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, it's nice to be a member of that club. And, I'll tell you right now, I'm still holding out. Since I haven't been able to reach my wife, I'm still holding out the chance that maybe this is not a bill pay situation. Perhaps this is... I get home and everything's gone. Gone.
No,
that won't.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now that if that happens, if I go home and everything's been taken, that's really going to wee-wee all over my weekend, I'll tell you right now. But I'll deal with that after I get done with 18 tomorrow morning.
It is payday. You can take your stack of money and go get a hotel.
That's true. I've got... You know what sucks?
What?
This is right after those people that did to play with me at Bushwood.
At the charity thing that you did a couple weeks ago, right?
I gave a round of golf and lunch with me as one of the prizes.
At your fancy country club?
At the fancy country club, Bushwood. And they were really nice people. Super nice people that I played golf with today, because they bid. And they bid a lot of money to come out and play the round of golf. And I was just like, hey, welcome. Okay, terrific. Here's what we got, a caddy and everything. We're walking around going, hey, thanks a lot. Walking up to the caddy, giving him some
big
cash.
Mr. Big Shot.
I walk in and I said to the pro out there, I said, listen, this is for the March of Dimes. Do you like to throw in two hats, on the March of Dimes? Make it a charity contribution, because it is for the March of Dimes. You donate two hats to these nice people. So the guy says, for you, anything. I get two hats. I didn't tell them that I told them it was for the charity.
Right. So they thought whether you bought it
for me. So I walk in, I go, listen, really enjoy the round. Couple of hats for both of you. Take some souvenirs. Let's go upstairs. How about a little lunch? Hey, sit down. Anything you want.
I hope you just signed for the lunch.
I did. I signed for the lunch. I'm like, hey, anything you want. Did you enjoy yourselves? Listen, I'm real sorry. Got to go do the show. But I hope you enjoyed your marvelous day here, And then I get home, the first thing I do, call my wife.
Well,
I'm sorry. You are a deadbeat loser who has not paid your bill.
Well, I hope she's listening. I know that your wife is not as open as my wife wanting to call the show and talk on the show all the time.
Yeah,
but
she doesn't.
This would be an excellent first opportunity for her to call in and get on the show.
That won't happen.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now that she, I don't think she's listening.
Oh, I do have a comforting call for you, though, Mike.
Okay, very good.
Right here. Oh, and listen, I got to tell you, I love the new computer system they've hooked up in here.
Good.
They have finally given us a telephone system that our old telephone system with the computer was like circa 1970.
Right.
This appears to be circa 1985.
Really?
And even though it appears to be 15 years behind the times, I'm ecstatic.
It's really working well?
Yeah, because it says who's on what line.
Very good.
And if there's a line I should go to immediately,
okay,
it's highlighted in green.
That's good.
Which is like right here on line number one, it's highlighted in green, which means this is a call I should take immediately.
Someone who's going to make me feel better?
Hello?
Oh, God,
hung up. How you doing?
You called that one. Absolutely. I feel better. All. Yes, Dennis.
I have a credit card. You want my number?
Yeah, Dennis, I'll take your number.
Off air, of course.
Okay. Yeah, off the air. Yeah, I'll take it from you so I can pay my phone bill.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Pay off your balance is a certain game.
What's that? I should, Dennis. Dennis, can you help me? Can you do that?
Boy.
Can you help me manage manage my bills?
Oh, brother. If you want me to help you, I will.
Very good.
Why don't you come over to Mike's house this weekend?
Dennis, how about this weekend? We just recreate what we did about a week ago.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, great.
I'll
tell you, I'm so calm right now. This would normally stress me out, but I'm so calm based on everything that's happened today. It's just, between the guy that was ready to kill me on the road, I don't know.
Don't worry, Mike. It'll get better.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, yeah, it'll get better for you as soon as I put that blindfold on.
Absolutely.
As soon as you see these girls up, let's talk to Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hi. How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Good. I'm so thrilled that I'm talking to you guys. Mike, I have a tip for you on paying that bill.
Yeah?
All you have to do is give them a blank check, and they'll take your ABA routing number from the bottom and the check number, and they should pay it right away.
Ah, very good. Well, the payment is easy. I don't have the right, but none of my credit cards are working.
This girl's telling you to give them the number off the bottom of a check.
Yeah, just use a check. Don't use a credit card.
You would assume that I carry checks around, and I don't carry checks. I really...
Maybe one of your good friends, Mike or Buzz, would... I mean, Don or Buzz would let you use one of their checks.
Can I go on record here for just a second? Okay, I am employed,
I
make a decent living.
I'll float you a loan, Mike.
This is not necessary.
You're good.
I'm gonna take care of it.
Do you need some cash?
No, I don't need any cash.
We can help.
I got cash, but I can't.
Do you need some dough?
$1. Just got paid.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
No, I mean, really.
But thank you.
Do you want a valid credit card to get your phone turned back on?
No.
I trust you. I know where you work.
I understand that. I've got a credit card that'll work. I'd rather not have to have a bill come to you that I'm
what? I'd love it.
No.
Frankly, I'd love that hanging over your head.
Unacceptable.
Would I love that for the rest of our lives and be able to say, don't you forget that time they turned your phone off. I paid to have your phone turned off.
And how long before you think the phrase, down on your luck, would enter into the conversation. I'm sure that would happen. My God.
Got it right here.
Don, that's not necessary.
I'm sure it's good.
That is not necessary.
Carry it in your wallet for future reference. Okay?
Good advice.
You mean carry around a blank check?
In case you ever need it for this kind of situation.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye.
You sure?
No, D-O-M-L is not... is not needing that right. Down on my luck is not...
sure, I got it right here for you.
They don't take that one.
They don't?
Nope.
Okay. About that one?
Yes, they take that one.
Come on, really. Turn your phone on. I'm not busting your balls.
I'm not. They're turning. They're turning. Let me explain something.
Turn it on. Use that. Get them to turn it on right now.
No.
Please? No. Please?
No. I'm doing this my own way, man. I'm going to... let me tell you something I'm pulling out of this hole my own way.
You might be out of a phone all weekend.
It doesn't matter to me. I'll deal with it. I have cell phones.
Okay.
I have cell phones. They're all, to the best of my knowledge, they're all working. I was certainly able to make the call telling me my other number was disconnected.
Okay.
And then I called my wife. She has a cell phone, too. And I called her cell phone, and that is obviously in the car, and she's in the house.
Okay.
Totally oblivious to the fact that our life is crumbling we speak.
My limited offer... My offer has a limit.
I understand that, and I appreciate the generous offer. I truly do, but it's not necessary. I will pull myself out of this abyss.
I tell you what, I know you're going to be on the telephone during the next commercial set, trying to call your wife, trying to call the phone call. If you really need it, I swear to God,
I know.
You know, I'm here for you.
I understand that.
Anytime you need a handout,
nice.
Anytime you need a helping hand, back on your feet.
Thank you very much.
I'm here.
Thanks a lot.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, with those incredible gambling debts that I have, I will take that under advisement.
You know, whatever the reason it is that you're in this dire financial strait.
I know. I understand.
What with your credit card being turned down?
I know. We're going to be overhauling the system shortly. This weekend.
Good luck.
I think that, I'm going to make it, man.
Okay.
I'm going to make
it. Well, I applaud that. That's the all-American pull yourselves up by the bootstraps.
I'm here. I'm in control, gentlemen. Everything's going to work out just
fine. I'm going to give you the all-American pull yourselves up by the bootstraps.
I'm here. I'm in control, gentlemen. Everything's going to work out just fine.
I'm going to give you a last resort. Save face.
Right.
You could probably call your mom.
Yeah.
You could call your mom, and that
way, so, you know,
no one would have to know.
People don't realize that, you know, when people say they're on a fixed income, you know, I think that's overblown. And I think she, you know, what does she do?
Right.
You know, she volunteers at the children's hospital, comes home, eats very small meals. She's probably got she's got a few thousand.
She's got enough to help you pay that bill.
Of course.
All right.
You know, that's exactly what I'll do.
I know you will
hit my mother up.
You will noodle it through during the next break. Well, at least that way no one would know.
No one would know. She always.
It's not like your mom's ever going to call the show and say, hey, remember that time that you didn't pay the phone bill?
Absolutely. And I've done things for her. I get her, you know, I got her a cake last year. Absolutely. You know, fantastic.
Do you want to talk to any more people about this?
Sure. I mean, I've got it under control.
Here is Mike. Hello, Lewis. Lewis wants to talk to Mike. Lewis.
Hey, Don and Mike. Long-time listener here.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Mike, what you can do is you call the phone company and tell them you already sent out the check by mail.
Oh,
what
really?
What they'll do is they'll reconnect the phone and give you 7 days to get the money to them.
All right. Okay, that's a thought. You know, but what they're doing is they're opening it. It would take, no matter what, it would take an hour or two to reconnect the phone.
Right.
But it's on instantaneously.
It's on instantaneously?
You know, I believe that, too. I believe that they can just go back and turn a switch. It's not like they have to go into a basement and reroute a bunch. It's not like Ernestine on Laugh-In, where she had to, you know, plug all those things in when she was the operator.
You know what I will do is I will do that thing, saying it's in the mail, and then because then we'll get a checkout, you know, in about 14 days.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lewis.
Very good.
All right,
thank you for your help, Lewis. Thank you for helping me while I was down on my luck.
Anytime.
Thank you.
The charity of others, Mike.
That's true.
You know what? I'm starting to feel like Jack Diamond
right now.
That we're doing like a charity show today.
You know, one of the things is, though, and this has always been the rap on me, and I know you know this, Don, and I say this from my ticker.
From your
sometimes ticker. Sometimes Mike O'Mara can just give too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. You know,
there's a limit.
It's my constant giving to others.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's what I do. It's part of me.
Are we set up in the lobby, Rob?
Yeah.
Are we set? Yeah, go out there. Let's do a mic check real fast. And let me know how many guys are out there.
Threw them all a $5 bill coming in. Just handed it out to them.
Kind of guy you are.
Yeah, just said, here you go. Enjoy your stay on the Don and Mike show.
Money you should have put towards your phone bill, Mike.
I understand that. You know, people tell me all the time, they practically want to tackle me and say, Mike, for the love of God, stop giving.
Let's go live to the lobby now, where Rob Spiewak is out there, where we will be bobbing.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Describe the setup out there and how many guys we have out there right now.
The smell.
Yeah, the odor.
The smell says Halloween. I see a lady. I see 1, 2, 3 guys in the lobby proper, 4. I'm sure there's a few. Oh, and there's like 4 hanging out by the bathroom.
Mm. Okay, good.
Bathroom, Rob. That's bathroom.
There's a few hanging out by the bat room, and
all
the
right.
bucket of water is full.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I guess we'll be going out there our next break.
Very good.
Out to the lobby.
Oh, I'm really excited about that. Make me forget how down on my luck I am.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared. Hello?
I'm sorry, do you want to rephrase that?
The Don and Mike Show. The comedy stars of the Alan Line One Radio Funhouse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. If you could listen to Best of Don and Mike, would you? If you could listen to classic Best of Don and Mike, you will. Because this is back from... back in the day, man, in the 80s, from the morning zoo. It's the best of Don and Mike.
That's it. It's 11 past 7 WAVA, but let us not forget the reason we have all gathered today.
Yes.
It's the last day for Big Al at WAVA. After 6 years, he's resigned. Here's another celebrity tribute.
Hi and hello. This is Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster. And I want to say to Alan Goodman, thank God you're gone. I mean, so long. It's been good to know you, not really so long. It's been good to know you. By the way, I understand that you bought a one-way ticket to Portuguese Macau because you like them a little younger of the same gender.
Ten
pictures, Alan.
Boy, he's a silly old man, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
Oh, man, Grandpa. 12 past 7, we'll have another Goodman moment as we look back at some of the best of Alan Goodman over 6 years here at WAVA. Plus, I promise, we'll give away that trip to the Bahamas next.
All right.
Here's WAVA news guy Dave Schreiber.
It's unforgivable that he cannot discipline himself.
Put me in,
coach. I'm ready to play.
Is that a tear I see welling up in your eye, Maurice?
Yes, it is. It will be so
fun. Now, Al's the guy that gave you your first big break in broadcasting, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Trying to pull yourself together until the end of the sportscast.
Good morning, Maurice.
Well, happy hump day, dashing game. And let's hear it for our Washington Bullets.
Yay, they played a great game last night.
Yes, they did, Don. I'll compose myself. Last night, on the hardboard courts of the Cappy Center, the Bullets won their second in a row, downing the Golden State Warriors 115-113. Way to go, fellas. Tonight, the Bullets are in Chicago at 8:30 to take on the Bulls. Meanwhile, the big, brave men of the ice, our Washington Cappies, are also on the road to take on the New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden. Game time, 7:30. And finally, sports fans, the boys of Burgundy and Gold are gearing up for their big RFK battle with the Miami Dolphins this Sunday at 1. Even though the Dolphins have a 9-2 record, the Skins are still favored by a field goal in this gridiron battle. Let's go, Redskins. That's it on sports, ladies. And if you're going for that outdoorsy look, try a layered ensemble of cotton tee, hooded sweatshirt, windbreaker, and denim jacket. It'll keep you warm in the winter. And if the weather changes, all you have to do is peel yourself. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to say, Alan Goodman, this is one sportscaster who you hired a long time ago. You know, a lot of people in this town wouldn't give me an opportunity, but you did, Alan, and I'd just like to say, Maurice Butkus salutes you.
Good morning.
What am I?
You sound like Mary Tyler Moore going, Mr. Grant!
Sorry, I apologize. I've let my emotions get the best of me. That's not very professional. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Maurice. 19 past 7, WAVA, and it's time for another Goodman memory.
All right.
Alan calls in from his car phone and wants us to do a remote from the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska.
Yeah.
Another Goodman memory.
Let me get this tape ready.
Yeah, we just got a call from the real thing.
He just called us.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And I knew it. I knew it. He had an idea that he wanted us to do something with the oil slick, okay? Now, he already embarrassed us because he said, I can't believe it. You guys, you're killing me. So, he started telling us this story, and I started to roll the tape in here. So, we'd have a tape of him saying that he had some thought about that. So, here from just a few moments ago.
Yes.
The real Alan Goodman telling us he had thought about us doing a show out from the oil slick or something like that.
I said, I thought about a great idea and doing it, and maybe you guys could become environmentalists.
Wait, you seriously wanted us to do that?
I'll hold it. Am I on the air?
Okay, no. At this point, he knows this is where I'd start to rub him.
Right.
But he's not on the air, Al. You're on tape.
Oh, that was so. I actually blasted my mind.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have some ESP working with you this morning.
Goodbye.
Bye, Al.
The real element.
What a treat it is. Hey, we don't make up anything on this show.
Absolutely.
Is Goodman really like that?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's when he wanted us to go to, and apparently, I guess, we've been on the air kidding about that, saying that he probably would really want us to go to the oil spill.
Yeah, and Al wanted to send us up there to Alaska to actually do a live broadcast from the site of the oil spill, one of his many wacky ideas.
After 6 years, he has quit. Today's his final day at WAVA. Hear now some more Alan Goodman memories from some of the folks that work here.
Hi, this is Linda Puddles. I'm an AE in the
account executive.
Weva, and my favorite memory of the compassionate side.
Hold on,
of
stop the tape for a second, Frank. Let me identify. Linda Puddles, you remember, is the WAVA account executive who was trying to go get money from a client that owed money.
Right.
And she got so upset that she threw up all over the place.
She's also the same account executive that greeted pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher Jim Palmer in the lobby and said, "Who are you here for?"
Now back to Linda Puddles.
One evening last spring, about 6 o'clock at night, I was on the phone with a very important client, and Al pulled me off the phone. He's like, there's going to be a hurricane, you've got to get to the prize closet. And that is my absolute favorite memory of Al, because the compassionate side of him said, bag your sales call and take relief in the sale in the prize closet, and Al Goodman will miss you, and we love you.
Hello, I am Ed Munster, weekend DJ and music director here at WAVA. I think my biggest memory of... I didn't mean to, Alan, but he took me under his wing and told me that I had to pay for all the damages. But no, thank you, Al. You ended up paying, and I didn't. Now you're leaving. Also, thank you, Alan, for turning me down on all the raises that I wanted. I appreciate that, and thank you for making me a part of your family, because you are a part of mine. Thank you, and we'll miss you, Alan.
as you can tell, everybody
Sandy
loves
Weaver,
him.
And I will never forget the Morning Zoo's 4th anniversary at the Bethesda Cinema Draft House. It was a snowy morning. Of course, it was broadcast live. And Al was walking around. Do you remember? He had a bag of money, and it was all cut in half. And Don and Mike got to fish out the money, and whatever half they matched up, they got to keep. Well, that's what the audience knows. What they don't know is a little later in the day, Al sitting in Diane's office, our business manager, and they were frantically trying to find the half of this money and put it back together. Generosity was never Al's strong suit. We're going to miss you, man. Bye.
Okay, we got more. We'll get to more of them in just a couple of seconds here on WAVA.
We are paying tribute to WAVA General Manager, outgoing General Manager Alan Goodman.
We are eulogizing him. It's almost like he passed away. Hey, Al, if you ever died, this is what it would sound like.
Yeah, you're actually listening to your own funeral.
It's 23 and a half past 7. And I think Commander Slinky may have the 105 best Alan Goodman memories.
All right, these are special.
And we can start the countdown here. Everyone knows he's Slinky at 24 past 7 at WAVA. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, Frank has worked really hard to,
in fact, yeah,
to get everything put together this morning for Al. Not only do we have all of the celebrity endorsements, all of the taped endorsements from the staff, Frank organized the strippers that will be coming down today, the guy coming down to play the accordion.
Dale Wise from Accordions Plus, strippers from Sneak Attacks.
And, of course, the parade through Georgetown.
With Danger Boy.
Mm-hmm.
With Danger Boy driving the WAVA Jeep open,
right,
so Al can greet his public. Now, do you have a list of the 105 memories?
Right. In fact, I think I may be one or two a few memories shy here, but I imagine, well, I'm still working on the list.
Well, it looks like you've got plenty of memories.
Oh, I've got plenty to last a couple of minutes here. There's no doubt.
Okay. Well, give me just a big spoonful of Al Goodman memories.
All right. Well, some of the best Alan Goodman memories. You'll remember, of course, his big lie about the microwave, claiming that the new microwave was, in fact, new when he bought it used from Loretta Lage. You remember Don and Mike discovering the jar of Tucks in Dallas on that fateful trip, which first led us to realize that Al had more problems than we ever possibly could imagine. You'll remember the story about Jonathan's bar mitzvah, where Don and Mike were tricked by Al's twin brother David and had other many, many pleasurable memories at Jonathan's bar mitzvah.
Oh, well, we got the tribute from Al's brother Dave. We haven't heard that one yet.
His twin brother David. And
that blends in nextly with another memory, which is the story of Al getting the fishing hook caught in his thumb.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Alan Goodman's brother, David.
You want to know what kind of a guy my brother is? When we were 8 years old, my identical twin hits my sister. My father finds out about it. He goes into the drawer to get his strap. He comes in and he starts hitting me on my fanny while Alan's in the corner and laughing. That's one good vignette. You want to know another one?
Yep.
We go fishing last year up in Canada and we have a $10 bet for the largest fish. I catch a 6 3/4 pound smallmouth bass. Alan puts it on the stringer and then doesn't tie the stringer onto the boat and the fish swims away with it. You want to know another vignette? One time he comes out to Colorado to visit me. He leaves Mike and Don my telephone number and then he checks into a hotel and Mike and Don call me and wake me up at 4:30 in the morning. Anyway, that's about it. Good luck, Alan. That's it.
Hello. Yeah. When I talked to David off the air, he also salt and peppers his language with the same profanity that Al does. It's very, very scary. I mean, they sound identical. Another of the many memories of Al, the wake-up calls all around the globe, particularly those in the Boston area when he was overseeing WJIB and with the constant references to, how did you find me?
Right.
The fire in the basement. Al was in California and refused to take any calls at the corporate meetings and was the laugh of Emmis, laughingstock of the company, when in fact, the building did catch on fire, and he was the last to know.
Now, you remember that? He was out there, and we tried to call him and tell him that the building was on fire.
Yeah.
The lady at the front desk of the hotel said, hey, now wait a minute. She left me a message that says, if you guys call, even if you say the building's on fire,
right,
he doesn't want to be disturbed.
And this was the one time the building was actually on fire.
So, also, another scam on Al when he was at corporate meetings in Cape Cod, and there was a $10,000 hole-in-one guarantee down here. In fact, we'll hear the tape of that coming up in a few minutes, and you had Al convinced that he not only forgot to send in the insurance check and owed some poor guy $10,000. Just Al and the Russians, just in general, a memory of Al catering, bending over backwards for Alnos.
I got to tell you something, Alnos. You know, Alan had a great relationship with the Soviet Union. I think the man is personally responsible for the tearing down of the wall.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Alnos.
Just think about the ratings parties where Al would get up and make his dramatic speeches and just be Al, whether the ratings party was at Champions or that that place downtown where we had the trade or the fancy expensive places when we did really, really well. Just Al at ratings parties. Al overpaying Mark Rippon by several hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Okay, we've got to stop here for a second. We'll get more of these 105 Al Goodman memories in just a second.
Yeah, I've got a pages. I've got four pages here, so.
I know you do, Frank. 10 minutes till 8. WAVA. It's Big Al Goodman Day. And we're going to start the big parade outside and more celebrity tributes to Al coming up, too. But now at 9 minutes, make it 9 at 7:51, 9 till 8. Let's play low budget Chapelle here on WAVA. Here's Johnny Gilbert.
This is Big Al Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our challenger, a veterinary technician from Laurel. Let's say hi to Bethany Gunsor.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Johnny. And it's Ganser.
Ganser.
Yeah.
Hi, Bethany.
And now entering the studio is our returning Low Budget Jeopardy champion. His two-day winning total, $120, a mobile disc jockey from Germantown. Let's say hi to Jeff Krebs.
Hello, Jeff.
Top of the morning to you, Alex, Johnny.
Hey, Jeff, being our returning LBJ champion, how has it changed your life?
Well, the Germantown Gazette called me. They want to do a feature story on my life as Low Budget Jeopardy champion.
Of course.
All right, and now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Remember, please, don't screw with LQ. And say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Sharks, thank you, Johnny. And good morning, Bethany. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Alex.
Hi, kids. Listen, don't forget to answer in the form of a question. I live with my mom. I'm wearing a clip-on tie. My suit is by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex. If you're playing the game, it's LQ Lord Quizmaster. Always call him Johnny.
Hello.
JJ, Jovial Johnny. JJ.
Oh, yeah. We've forgotten about her, haven't we?
Come on now. Do the game, JJ. I watched her yesterday, too.
Esther?
On WTBS.
The lovely and talented Esther Roll.
Channel 12 on your Montgomery cable. And I think I'm ready to make that list anytime anybody wants to dare me. I think I've got it ready.
You have it committed to memory?
Channel 2? Well, I'll do it in a second.
All right.
It's 7:52 at WAVA. Here's the categories. Good luck, kids. And they are last week's top box office.
All right.
Bald guys.
Mm-hmm.
News about Roseanne.
Hi.
Who makes that car?
Yeah.
And what's the next line?
Alrighty.
Bethany Beach, we'll start with you.
Okay, LQ, I will take top movies for one, please.
All right, last week's top box office for one. This surprise hit is still a very strong number one.
What is Home Alone?
That's right.
$1 for you, you're on the board and rolling, Bethany.
Same category for two, please.
All right, please, don't see this movie. Do it for me. Do it for yourself. It's number two.
What is Three Men and a Little Lady?
$2 for you, Bethany.
Yes.
Same category for three, please.
Category for three, okay. This Arnold-less sequel opened at number three.
What is Kindergarten Cop?
Jeff, your chance to steal.
I don't know.
What is Predator 2?
And Bethany, you are still in control of the board.
Okay, I will take, name that car for one, please.
All right, who makes that car? For one, Justy.
Jeff, your chance to steal again.
What is Subaru?
That's right.
$1 for you, Jeff.
You know, when I used to date her, foxy little chick from the Orient, Subaru.
Hello, say hello to Subaru.
Go again, please.
Who makes that car for two?
Stealth.
What is Dodge?
That's right.
$2 for you, Jeff Bridges.
Are those cars cool enough?
Yeah, test drove one. But real tough time with those dealers.
Yeah. Tell everybody what happened when you tried to test drive that car.
I go down to this dealership. As a matter of fact, I went to two of the same dealerships, and they'll go nameless, Tate Dodge. And I walk down, and the guy says to me,
former WAVA advertiser, Tate Dodge, still might owe us money for live commercials, as a matter of fact.
And I walk down there, and I say, I'd like to test drive this. Not unless you're going to buy it. And finally, I twist this guy's arm, and I test drive the car, and it's a nice automobile. But why do they say that? Because really, anybody, are you ever going to buy a car if you don't get a chance to drive it? Not unless you're going to buy it. So I kind of look back and said, well, how do I know if I'm going to buy it if I ain't test driven it yet? So he finally let me drive the car, and then I threw the keys back
in. He sounded an awful lot like Jethro.
How do I know, Granny? That's right, Granny.
And that's another of the fine shows you can catch on TBS, Channel 12, if you have Montgomery County Cable. And do you remember the name Jethro used when he got to be a movie producer?
Oh, yeah, I always forget this.
Beef Jerky.
Beef Jerky. Hey, my name's Beef Jerky. Call me that, Granny.
Okay, Jeff, are you in control?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Select again.
Go again. And I've got that list now of the channels ready anytime.
Who makes a car for three?
Nobody's asked me yet. Who makes that car for three? Storm.
What is Geo?
That's right.
$3 for you, Jeff.
Let's go with Roseanne for one.
All right, and what is the score, please, Johnny?
$6 for Jeff. Bethany has $3, LQ.
All right, at 5 minutes until 8, news about Roseanne. She will host an hour of her favorite videos on this channel Saturday.
What is MTV?
That's right.
$1 for you, Jeff.
Let's go with Roseanne for two.
She will be moving to this town next year, and she wants to do the show Roseanne from this town next year as well.
What is Detroit?
Bethany, your chance to steal.
What is Minneapolis?
That's right.
$2 for you, and you're back in control,
she
Bethany.
She loves it.
Okay, I'll take Roseanne for three, please.
Roseanne says, or she said yesterday at least, when she loses one of her shoulder pads, she uses one of these instead.
What is a breast pad?
Jeff, your chance to steal.
What's a bra cup?
I'm sorry, what's a maxi pad?
And Bethany, you are still in control.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take
it. Look, it's my maxi pad.
Hey, she's a classy lady.
I'll take name that bald person for one, please.
All right, bald guys bald. For one. He's a star of Cheers, and he wears a piece to hide his head.
Who is Ted Danson?
That's right.
$1 for you, Bethany.
Same category for two, please.
Ball guys for two. This WAVA executive is calling it quits.
Who is Alan Goodman?
Yeah.
$2. You've taken the lead, Bethany Gansor.
Same category for three, please.
He plays Major Dad.
Who is...
Yeah.
Delta Burke's husband.
Get your chance to steal.
Who is Gerald McRaney?
Yes.
And Bethany, you are still in control.
Okay, last category. What's the next line for one, please?
All right, just sing me the next line. Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
What is fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la?
That's right.
$1 for you, Bethany.
Same category for two, please.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose.
What is, and if you ever saw him, you would even say it glows.
Yes, we'll
all of the other reindeer.
All right, Bethany. $2 for you, Bethany.
Okay, same category for three, please.
What's the next line for three? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
What is, just like the ones I used to know.
Yesterday. You run the category, Bethany.
Yeah, that's it. We're done with the final LBJ on the horizon. What is the score, Johnny?
Jeff Krebs finishes with $7. Our challenger, Bethany, finishes with $14, LQ.
All right, anything can happen in Final Low Budget Jeopardy because we're going to physically force you both to bet it all. Good luck. And the category this morning is the acting career of Dave Schreiber. The acting career of Dave Schreiber. That is the Final Jeopardy category. And good luck. Here's the answer. When Dave made his famous guest appearance on the soap opera One Life to Live, he played this Hollywood agent.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a bottle of new Hot Monkey Love Cologne. Just splash it on and get ready for a whole new love life packed with action. Hot Monkey Love Cologne is the fragrance that says you're a hot monkey and you're ready for love. Made from real animal byproducts. Our runners-up on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the picture book A Farewell to Alan. This detailed picture book chronicles the life and times of Alan Goodman with pictures you can color and big, easy-to-read letters and a special centerfold of Alan Goodman in his fishing suit. Waving goodbye. And now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thanks. I want to talk to Bethany first.
You want to talk to Jeff first.
I'm sorry. Hi, Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff, when Dave Schreiber guested on One Life to Live, he played this Hollywood agent.
Who is Jeff Wilkie?
Oh, I'm sorry. That knocks you down to zero, Jeff Krebs.
All right, Bethany Beach, you can win if you have the right answer.
Oh, I don't have any idea.
Oh, darn it. Well, let's listen to the clip, and you'll find out he played Al Slap. And now here's Dave Schreiber on One Life to Live.
Hello, Mary Lynn.
Hi.
Who's your friend here?
This is Neil Blaney, the president of my fan club. You have a fan club?
Well, of course she has a fan club. Mary Lynn's the best thing that's ever happened to Fraternity Row.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
Oh, there he is.
Everybody, this is Al Slap.
Al Slap.
Al is an absolutely incredible PR man. I'm sure you've heard of him, right? No, actually, I haven't.
That's because I take on only clients with promise.
Al is absolutely devoting himself to my career.
That's right. And before I'm through, I'll turn her into the reigning queen of Fraternity Row.
Slap, played by Dave Schreiber.
There you go. Ask for him by name, please. Al Slap, the Slapper.
And that means tomorrow we will have two brand new low-budget Jeopardy contestants.
Oh, how sweet fresh meat, and parting is such sweet sorrow. Adieu, adieu, Bethany, Jeff. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Jeff has won some money, and you both won these gifts. But first, your money, Jeff.
First of all, Jeff Krebs, you leave us with a two-day winning total of $120. You get to keep it. And here are your parting gifts, Bethany and Jeff. First of all, it's four tickets to see the WABA premiere of Edward Scissorhands, starring Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder at the Cineplex Odeon Tysons Fairfax Square 8 on December 13th.
But wait, there's four.
You've won a KMS hair care packet. KMS, blending state-of-the-art technology with the purest quality ingredients. KMS, for healthy hair and a healthy environment.
But wait, still four.
You've won a large pizza, courtesy of Jerry Subs and Pizza.
But wait, still four.
And here's your grand prize, kids. It's a pair of tickets to see Nonsense, a hilarious new musical at Petrucci's Dinner Theater in beautiful Laurel, Maryland. Congratulations, kids, and thanks for playing the game.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Thank you, kids. Listen, have a great Christmas. If we don't talk to you before then, what's your favorite radio station?
WABA.
How do you spell that?
C-H-A-T.
You Kugle. Don't forget the Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
Thank you, guys, and hold on a second. It's a minute past eight. Good guy time at WAVA. Bart the Weatherman says morning sunshine, followed by clouds later today and maybe a late day shower with a high 75. Mm. Could get wet, could get damp. You sit in the wet spot with a high today 75. It's 62 now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Stay listening. Well, everybody, it has been fascinating, and the week has flown by, but I still got one more segment for ye for the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike and Rob get into a list contest, and it starts with candy, and Rob excels with candy. It's the best, Don and Mike.
That's how you know when you're right on this show.
Yes, absolutely.
Cat box.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good bar.
Yeah.
Right on.
Juju fruits?
Yeah. Nope. Sorry, Rob, we vote him down.
Yeah, Mike and Ike's much better than Juju fruits.
Rob was just telling us he can't select his favorite jelly candy because it would be like trying to pick which is his favorite child.
Absolutely. He cannot do it. Really, all the jelly candies you enjoy.
Yeah.
And now, you know, listen, you want to see him
here
come out of his skin.
Now.
This is where we're in
now.
His wheelhouse, right? This is his favorite subject.
No, seriously. I mean, really, I like Mike and Ike's, but I mean, that totally discounts hot tamales. You don't like those? Jolly Joe's?
You know, you're wearing your sneakers today. You're wearing your Charlie Brown sneakers today.
Yes, it's I can jump the highest in them.
I have never heard of Jolly Joe's.
That's a grape candy made by the same company. I think it's made by made by Just Born.
Jolly
Just Born
Joe's
of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They also make the chicks, the Peeps.
Oh, Peeps!
You know the Peeps.
Peeps marshmallow Peeps.
Yeah, marshmallow Peeps. Mm-hmm. Just Born of Pennsylvania. Hello to my friends up there.
Jolly Joe's.
Jolly Joe's.
Jolly Joe's. I've never seen. Where would one acquire a box of Jolly Joe's?
You have to go to the Just Born
factory.
Yeah, the outlet.
Like where Willy Wonka.
No, I don't know. I've seen them around. Mm-hmm. Like maybe the dollar store.
What's your favorite chocolate candy?
Chocolate candy? Probably Reese's Cups.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe Snickers.
What's your favorite chocolate candy?
I don't eat them anymore. I mean,
when you did eat them, when you and I used to go out on the road back when you were a human, and you would actually eat large quantities of food, and you wouldn't be on this ridiculous diet, you're killing me, man.
Try the Reese's.
Reese's.
But you know what else is great?
They'd probably be my favorites.
Chocolate covered raisins from the Price Club.
Ah,
great.
Oh, the big ones in the big.
I got a side bet. How many jelly candies do you think Rob Spiewak could name? I bet he could name at least 15 jelly candy products.
I'm going to say only 10.
All right, Rob. Rob, you, Buzz, you want to know that?
I'll say 8. I'll say he can name 8.
I think you can do 15, Rob. I have a lot of faith in you.
All right, well, it depends on how specific I'm going to get. If you do, like, you know, there's gummy
bears. Don't start hemming and hawing. You got to jump right in.
No, gummy bears would count.
Gummy bears,
one.
Gummy worms, gummy Coke bottles.
Three.
There's Jolly Joe's, Mike
four,
and Ike's.
Five.
There's hot tamales.
Six.
Juju fruit.
Seven.
Juju bees.
Eight.
Oh, golly. Would you count jelly beans?
Nine.
Okay. Jelly babies is another one I know.
Ten.
Jelly babies.
Jelly babies.
Hey, jelly baby. Hey, baby.
Five more, Rob.
Okay.
Apply yourself.
Give me a second.
I'm thinking of one you were eating last week in the studio.
I'd like to point out that he is at 10, which was my previous
guess.
Dots makes it 11.
That's 11.
I do like me dots.
Come on, you can come up with four more.
Oh.
Think, I'm going to help here.
Thank you.
Think licorice.
Ah, yes, good and plenty.
There you are. That's a jelly candy.
And good and fruity?
Mm-hmm.
It's 12.
Three more, Rob. Three more jelly candies.
My God, man, it's in there. It's somewhere in there.
There is in there.
Come on, Rob. Got it all hanging on you right now.
Swedish fish.
14. One more, Rob.
Mexican hats.
Hey!
Thank you. 15. Now, jelly candies.
How many different candy bars, chocolate candy bars, can the boy name? I think the boy can name 20 chocolate candy bars.
I think he can name... Boy, 20?
That's a lot.
I hate being short. I'm going to go with Don. I agree, 20. I think you can make 20. I want to root for you on this one.
Buzz? I'll say 10.
Only 10 for Buzz.
Just 10.
He's not a believer in you, Rob.
Almond Joy, Mounds, okay. Peppermint Patty. Those are all Charlie Brown sponsors. Snickers, Milky Way, Whatchamacallit, Marathon Bar.
Whatchamacallit is an actual candy bar,
yes,
right?
It is. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hershey Bar, Hershey with Almonds.
Oh.
Hershey with the cookie crumbs in it. I don't know what they call that. A Zagnut Bar. That's white chocolate. Does that count?
Sure. Yeah, chocolate's okay. Chocolate.
Chocolate-covered payday bar. Marathon bar. $100,000 bar.
You already said marathon.
I have said that.
Right.
Charleston Chew. Reese's Cup. Crispy Reese's Cup. What do you call
it? Money.
Mr. Good Bar.
Hey, no, giving him help now.
Mr. Good Bar. Is that Crackle Bar, Reese's, I'm sorry, Hershey Special Dark.
How many does he have, Mike?
He has 20, Don.
Do I really?
He already has 20, wow. Yes. He's already, let's see, go for your record.
Okay.
Take money, like I said before.
I said $100,000.
Okay, you already did, all right.
They say Milky Way, did I do that whole family?
Yes, the whole family.
The M&M Mars family.
The M&M Mars
family. Did you know that every Mars bar,
okay, you've got 20 chocolate bars, now hard candies. How many hard candies do you think you can name?
Not many. There's not many out there.
10. I couldn't come up with one name brand hard candy. I'll say 10.
Hold on.
Are you kind of like Tootsie Roll lollipops?
Sure.
Well, then you could do 10 easy, Rob.
I'm
going to
say
10.
You can do 15.
All right. Now
Buzz?
Or later?
Hold on. Let Buzz in on this.
The skeptic will say 8.
Thank you, Buzz. Now or later. I was there for you yesterday.
Yes, you were.
Now or later, lemon drops. Cinnamon discs, Brock Sparkles, Dum Dum Lollipops, Tootsie Pops.
Roadblock.
Cinnamon Red Hots. That's a hard candy, isn't
right?
It?
Yes.
Things you suck on.
We're not playing the pyramid, Rob.
I know.
Is that it?
Oh, come on. Give me
You're
a second.
You're forgetting like the most obvious.
Canada Mints. Vela Mints. I have to go through the whole mint.
What is Canada Mints?
They're like they're made by Necco. They're like thicker Necco wafers. Necco wafers is 10.
All right.
Let's see. Oh gosh.
Is that it, Rob?
That might be it.
How many do we have there, Mike?
He had 11. A total of 11.
11 hard candies.
I don't believe you mentioned the Lifesaver family.
Oh, you're right.
And you know they make like a gummy Lifesaver also.
You're right. Mm. And we've had them here in the studio.
And if you do Lifesavers, you have to do, you know, all the mints.
How many mints can you? I'll say this, I have no faith. 10 mints. 10 different mints.
I will say 15 again. 15 mints.
Buzzy?
I'll say 9 mints.
Okay, well, we can repeat here. There's Tic Tacs, Breath Savers, Vela Mints, Wint O Green. that's the flavor, and Pep-O-Mint. That's another
Is that
thing.
A real one?
That, yeah. Those yes, are the flavors of Lifesavers. Pep-O-Mint. They have a big O in the middle.
Is the cinnamon family allowed in the mint category?
Sure, sure. Right.
I don't think so. That's not a mint. That's not derived from mint.
All right, then.
Altoids, peppermint, and Altoids spearmint.
Mm-hmm.
That's seven.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is cloudy. It seems to me that I've said mints already.
My mind is cloudy.
Well, Canada mints.
He's giving some kind of testimony.
There are mint-flavored Necco wafers, so I would say some of those are mint.
That would be it.
That's nine. Yeah, I
that's a total of nine.
Yeah, I could probably come up with more.
Total of nine. That he has. Total of nine.
Let you down.
Okay.
Fresh breath never been that important.
How many peanut candies can you name? Candies that have peanuts in them. I will say you can go 15.
I'll say that he can only go 8.
Buzzy?
I'll say 10.
All right. Oh, here's a candy bar I forgot. Goldenberg's Peanut Chews.
All right.
That's a great peanut candy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Good Bar. Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to say, if they ever have Jeopardy for Morons,
right.
I'm signing you up for that show because
they never let me on stage.
You would be the big winner, Robbie.
It would be that TV Land thing all over again. They
you're
never
you're
let
at
me on.
Four with Payday.
Okay. I said Snickers?
Yes.
Okay. Reese's Peanut Butter and Reese's Crunchy. They both are derived from peanuts. 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 Turtles.
What's a turtle?
He looks so proud.
it's not a turtle because that's made with pecans. The Goo Goo Cluster that they make.
Okay, so I'll put that one for your number seven.
The Goo Goo Cluster.
The Goo Goo Cluster.
Come on, boy, think.
I am thinking. $100,000 bar, is that
nope.
a peanut? That's not a peanut
nope.
one?
Nope.
It's not?
Caramel and Rice Krispies.
Wow.
I just need one more.
One more, boy. Think.
Mm.
Think, Rob. Come on.
Oh, it's so hard.
Think, damn it.
I know.
You can come up with one more peanut candy bar.
I should be able to. Give me 1 second. Golly, this is hard.
Golly.
Oh, dear.
Okay, dear. See you at the cat box, dear.
All right, so that's seven. That your total is seven on that one.
Seven
all right.
peanut candies.
He's answered almost all of my candy challenges.
I just like the gum the gum family, if you'd like to attempt
like,
the gum. How many gums do you think he'd be able to name?
20.
I'm going to go with 20 also. I think you can do it, Rob. I think you can name 20 gums.
Buzz?
I'll say 18. Just to make it difficult.
Right.
Blackjack. I have to start with the most obscure.
That's good.
I've never heard of blackjack gum.
I have. It's gross.
It is. It's licorice flavor.
And it's gross licorice flavor.
Blackjack, T-berry, carberry gum, Big Red, spearmint, juicy fruit, phenomen.
It counts.
What was it? Freshen Up, Hubba Bubba, Bubblicious. Uh-oh, phone.
Hold on, I'll get it.
Phone.
There's a phone.
It's good housekeeping.
Telephone.
It's the stupidest show on radio. They're just calling us to officially give us the prize.
Bubble Yum, Bazooka, Bazooka Cherry, Bazooka Grape. I don't want to go with all the different flavors unlike the other gums. Free Dent, which does not stick to dental work.
That would taint the contest if you were with all the different flavors in those gums.
Hubba Bubba. I believe I already said
again,
that. What am I thinking of? Double Bubble.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
How many has he got, Mike?
He's got 16.
Mm-hmm. Four more, Robbie.
Okay.
Four more gums. Come on, now.
Blow Pops have gum in them. The Delicious Gum Center. there is a Gatorade brand gum.
There is. No, there is. Heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two more, Robbie.
Carefree Sugarless Gum.
Right. One more.
And that intense cinnamon gum with the flavor crystals. What's it? It's got the flavor crystals in it. Dentine. It's
dentine.
Not it, but there's 20 for you.
That's right. 20. Right. 20.
There he is, our hero.
Rob Spiewak.
And you really ignored the fruit-flavored gums of that are non-bubble variety.
Yeah, I don't approve of them.
Fruit stripe gum is
fruit
what I was
that's the worst gum in the world.
Spearmint, double mint.
Hold on, Mr. Broyhill. Come here for a minute. I'll tell you something, Rob, that when you were doing this contest, Broy, okay, man.
Oh, and I can't believe I did forget Double Men.
And I see him shaking his head like, this is the stupidest bit you guys have ever done.
No, yet, that wasn't it. Not
today.
You didn't see me shaking my head.
Today, I heard from Charles Broyhill that he drove all the way. Where did you drive to?
I drove to Indian Head, Maryland to buy the gum I was looking for. And then I had a friend in Wichita send me some.
What is your favorite gum?
Is it clove?
This is the gum.
Clove is another good gum.
This is the gum that Rob tried to get him from the company when Rob called and said that was in chemo.
Yeah, that little Charlie.
Little Charlie.
This is regular Carefree.
I know, there's nothing special about it. Yeah.
But he drove all the way to Indian Head just to get it. And he told me that when he went to the gas station that had it, he bought 17 packs.
No, I bought 29.
And wasn't it dusty?
Yeah, it was dusty. And it broke in little pieces because it was crunchy. It's not special. It's just I can't find it.
I mean, it tastes good, but it's not like crazy.
Is it worth driving to Indian Head for?
It's not worth driving down to the 123, Main Street exit.
All right, hold on. Here's the hotline. Hello.
Hey, Sugie, I want to play. How many beers could Uncle Mike name?
Okay.
I would say that Uncle Mike could name 25 beers.
Okay, all right.
Who could name more between these two?
Between Rob and Mike?
He'd kill me.
Rob would. Yeah.
Can you just once let me play a game, please? Yeah,
let Uncle Mike play. I think Uncle Mike could name 25 beers.
Okay.
How about you, honey?
She's gone.
She wanted me to do it.
Right. And she's gone.
And she's gone.
And she's gone. And she's gone.
Let me take my gum out. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 25 beers, Mike.
Bud, Schlitz, Bud Light, Busch, Heffenreffer, Wiedemann's, Iron City, Michelob Light, Miller High Life, Miller Light, Heineken, Amstel Light.
There you go.
Grolsch. Lowenbrow.
Let it be Lowenbrow.
Wait a minute. Red Dog.
Petering out now.
I know. Where am I? How many do I need to
16.
Get?
16. You have 16.
You have 9 more to go, Mike.
All right, hold on. I got to clear my head just for a second. Genesee Cream Ale. Rolling Rock.
Focus.
Okay. See,
think of the suds.
It's not organized. That's it. Because it's
the hops, the malts.
It's not organized. My God, I've got to get this right.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
That's right. That's 20.
It's 5 more, Mike.
5 beers. I can do five beers. I know I can do 5 beers. Okay.
I've heard you say that before.
No, I could do more than 5 beers.
Your favorite airplane beer.
Beck's.
Yes.
Beck's Dark.
No hints,
Beck's
though.
Light. Thank you, Rob.
Two more.
All right.
Two more beers.
Think of the light beer.
Two more bottles of beer on the wall.
I'm trying to think of the light beer. I know I can do this. God, I can do this. Light beers. Okay, I'm going to go the non-alcoholic beers. That's perfect. That's a
sure.
beer. That's a beer.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of any.
Of course, man.
Oh, what's that one?
You know,
Buckler.
24.
Buckler, non-alcoholic beer.
There's one more.
We used to do commercials for him.
Buckler's the one we used to
do commercials for.
We
did commercials for the other one, too, though.
Oh, man. Foster's.
That's 25.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Foster's.
25 beers.
All right. And what was that non-alcoholic beer?
O'Doul's.
And there's Sharps.
That's right.
And there's Klaus Holler.
Coors, Schlitz, Blatz. Could you get 25 on top of that?
Maybe.
Oh, no, not maybe. Yes or no?
Probably. Probably, yeah. I think
on top of that, you're on. No.
Okay, and I'll remember the ones I have.
Okay, Molson Ice, Molson Golden, Miller Genuine Draft. You had Michelob. You didn't have Busch Light. You didn't have Iron City Light. There's National Bohemian. There's Mickey's in the wide mouth bottle. Milwaukee's Best Light, Black Label, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
He's a genius.
Yeah. Oh, Schmitz of Philadelphia.
Oh, Christ, you're killing me with this.
Pete's Wicked Ale, Pete's Golden Pilsner.
Yeah,
Pete's Summer Brew, Pete's Cherry Wheat Lambic.
Oh, man.
Sam Adams.
You're killing me, man.
Sam Adams.
He's going to do it. He's going to come up with 25 more.
Oh,
two more, Robbie.
Oh, easy. Ice House. And that's a sponsor.
Give me one more.
Oh, no, that's... And I need 6 more, actually.
You need 6 more.
Yeah. 6 more.
Old Dominion.
5.
Old Dominion Light.
4.
What's that one they used to brew downtown?
What do you drink? When you were a kid.
Corona.
Three.
Dos Equis in the green bottle, Dos Equis in the brown bottle.
There you go.
One more.
And...
Sterling tall beer.
50. That's 25 from Mike and 25 from Ron.
That is, I can't even begin to tell you how pathetic that is. That is truly, truly pathetic, man.
Well, now let me and Buzz play.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guys, now what is, let me see.
Well, you know me. Pick something that I know a lot about.
All right.
How many Batman villains can you name? Comic book and TV show.
Is that a challenge between you and Buzz?
No.
Or just you?
What's your bet?
I'll say 10.
I'll say 18.
I'll say you can do 10.
Joker.
Two-Face.
Somebody counting these?
Mm-hmm.
Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman.
Hold on. Joker, Two-Face, Riddler, Penguin.
5.
Catwoman. Sandman. Scarecrow.
7. Boy, I'm going to peter out on this.
Oh, Christ. Bookworm.
8.
Egghead.
9.
Do I get extra points for all three Catwomen?
If you want, yeah.
The Julie Newmar. Eartha Kitt. Lee Merriweather in the movies.
11.
Batman villains. Hold on.
I have another one. I have another category when you're done with this one, too.
It's too much pressure. Too much pressure. How many more I need? 9 more?
You have 13.
Mm-hmm. 13. Okay, I need 7 more. 7 more Batman villains.
And that's
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. All right.
Mr. Freeze, of course. I don't know. That's all I come up with now.
Okay, for a total of 14.
14.
Not
sorry,
bad.
Boys.
Good.
Sorry,
right,
boys.
That's a lot.
Okay, let's do wages here. One more here. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL. How many do you think he can get, Rob?
How many teams? He can get them all.
30.
Are there 30 teams in the NFL? All right, how many do you think he can get, Buzz?
I'll say 26.
I'll say 27.
I'll say all of them, all 30.
Okay.
All
right. Washington Redskins, Brad Johnson. Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman. Philadelphia, Doug Peterson.
Peterson.
Arizona, Jake Plummer. What's the team? And Giants, Kent Graham, or what's his name from Carolina? Kerry Collins. Central Division, Green Bay, Brett Favre. Chicago, Cade McNown. Detroit, Charlie Batch. Minnesota, Randall Cunningham. Tampa Bay, Trent Dilfer. Western Division, San Francisco, Steve Young. Carolina, Steve Berline. I'm having trouble remembering all the teams now. Atlanta, Chris Chandler. New Orleans, Billy Joe Tolliver. Who's the fifth team out there? I need a list of the teams.
You can do it. You can do it without the list of the teams. You have 14.
All right, I'll come back to that one.
All right. Coming back to the Western Division,
yes,
and the NFC.
AFC. Indianapolis Colts, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino. New York Jets, Vinny Testaverde. New England Patriots, Drew Bledsoe. Who's the 15 in the East? Come back to it. Central Division, Cleveland Browns, Ty Detmer or Tim Couch. Cincinnati Bengals, Jeff Blake. Pittsburgh Steelers, Cordell Stewart. Tennessee Titans, Air McNair. And now I'm forgetting teams. I'm forgetting the goddamn teams. West Division, Kansas City, Elvis Gerback. Oakland, Gannon. Thank you, Cakes. Thank you for the list. Hold on. I got a list of the teams. In the West, I forgot St. Louis. It's Trent Green. Denver, Bobby Brister. Seattle, John Kitna. Kansas City is Elvis Gerback. Oakland is Rich Gannon. And San Diego is, what's his name? Jim Harbaugh.
30.
That's all 30.
30.
Okay.
There it is.
Thank you. Oh, no, I forgot. No, I forgot. We had one twice. I forgot Baltimore. It's Scott Mitchell.
There it is.
There
Scott
you go.
Mitchell.
See?
All right, now a challenge for Buzz. Very quickly.
Oh, all right, I got one for Buzz.
What? Okay.
Buzz, how many Shakespearean plays can you name?
Oh, man.
I think 5.
I'm going to say 4.
Say 8.
Okay, here we go. Hamlet, As You Like It, Romeo and Juliet, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
That's 4.
I may be stuck there. That may be it for me. Off the top of my head.
Thank you.
4.
How many sexual aids can you name? I think 10.
I'll say 12.
I'll say all of them.
Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Fez at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. on 106.7 WJFK.
How's it going, man?
Oh, good, good.
So, what can I get you?
How about a beer?
Okay, coming right up.
Thanks. How much do I owe you?
Oh, wait a second. I feel obligated to say this. The liquid contained in this glass is not beer. It contains hops, barley, and water. But in no way is it the original Pilsner, the first and only true golden beer, Pilsner Quill.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you just say what I have here is not really a beer?
Larmond's Tavern is not liable for any disappointment, anguish, or distress that may result from said beer.
But
by acknowledging this, you are entering into an explicit agreement that absolves establishment and employee of any legal responsibility.
Legal responsibility? I'm not... You... Huh?
Let me finish. Larmond's Tavern is a registered trademark. Larmond's Tavern 2004. If I were you, I'd order a Pilsner Quell.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
If it's not Pilsner or Quell, it isn't really beer. Try the original Pilsner, the beer that started it all. Because you haven't really had beer until you've had Pilsner or Quell. Taste the original. Imported by Pilsner...
Wait, I'll take it from here. Imported by Pilsner, Quell, USA, Washington, D.C. Please drink responsibly.
It's here, your last chance to save during the big buy one, get one free color phone sale at Verizon Wireless. Now through June 30th, you can grab the cool LG VX3200 color flip phone, originally $89.99, now for just $39.99 after mail-in rebate. When you pick up this great color phone, you'll get another free after mail-in and instant rebate, each phone with a new two-year agreement. That's two great phones, one amazing price, and it's all on America's best, most reliable wireless network. Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what our customers have to say.
It works better in more places. It works awesome. It's the most reliable network out there. Verizon Wireless is reliable, dependable. It just works for me.
Now's the time to get wireless that works, because our big buy one, get one free sale ends June 30th. Hurry into Verizon Wireless today or call 1-800-